always finds me.
The swamp is rotting from the inside out, and the stench is getting impossible to ignore.
Yes, I know, Captain Stern. Never did there live a kinder, more generous man.
See?
Unless maybe the preschooler's prostitute ring. Huh?
A longtime Justice Department employee, Timothy Parsons, busted and charged with child pornography possession and distribution. The very agency that's supposed to hunt down these monsters now caught harboring one of their own. Then the New York Times dropped a bombshell on Rhode Island priests abusing hundreds of kids over 75 years with the church, shuffling predators like deck chairs on the Titanic while covering it all up.
The public deserves to know the truth, in my view, and they deserve to know it as a complete story, not a series of short stories that are told over time or over decades as priests are charged or as the media takes a particular interest over a certain period of time. The public deserves to know the whole story from 1950 to 2026, to see it all in its raw emotion and horror and impact.
Piling on, the cartel's black book of child buyers, allegedly kept by El Mencho himself, reportedly packed with 220 names of global power players, including some right here in the United States, scumbags placing custom orders for trafficked kids, complete with specific ages and twisted preferences.
The cartel leader El Mencho, who was just killed, had a list of all the different world leaders that were on it and who was trying to get children, because the drug traffickers make more money at trafficking children, and he has a list of world leaders and powerful people who are asking for certain kids and ages and types, and that list is what they're trying to protect right now.
And not to be outdone, the Uniparty, Congress itself, the deep state global elite filth is protecting their own while the kids pay the price.
I just think it's really disgusting how this institution protects itself, because y'all, just half of them voted to send this stuff to House Ethics, where you know it's going to die. We know that members of Congress are using taxpayer dollars to pay off sexual harassment. We just had a member of Congress literally sexually harass a woman that then lit herself on fire, and you guys all protected him. Yep. You guys all protected my own side, your side. And so if you guys want to talk about victims, if you want to go out and virtue signal, and then you guys are going to kill her stuff on the floor and then try to pass. Yeah, of course, we should subpoena all of this stuff. But just, I'm not going to sit here and play games. I think it's a complete fraud. I think that's why the American people hate us. I think the midterms are coming up and everyone should go on record for this. And I hope that members are exposed for this. I hope it goes back, I think, to the 70s, because it's wrong that it's happening. It's wrong that we cover up for it. It's wrong that we can't censor our own side because people are busy making deals because you guys don't want to censor your side. It's a deal that's been cut and people hate us for it. So yeah, I support it.
You know, Congress has paid over $17 million in hush money for sexual misconduct inside of the offices in these buildings. And what's more is that was taxpayer money, right? The allegation is that President Trump paid $130,000 of his own money. But here in Congress, we have, there may be some on this dais. I mean, I'm for turning loose all of these records. Who in here has had the taxpayer pay for their sexual misconduct charges, the hush money? I bet there's some over there. There may be some over here. I don't know, but I do know it's taxpayer money, and I do know not a single penny of it has been turned in as a campaign finance expense.
From DOJ insiders to cartel traffickers to Capitol Hill payoffs, the pattern screams one thing into the noonday sun. The powerful shield the predators, because too many of them are the predators themselves.
How do we do it to where we hold people accountable but still keep the system from collapsing, as you talked about earlier?
Let the system collapse. A system run by twisted power pedos is no system at all.
He's nothing but a low-down, double-dealing, backstabbing, larcenous, perverted worm. Hanging's too good for him. Burning's too good for him. He should be torn into little bits and pieces and buried alive.
John Bound, reporting for InfoWars.
The end of the old order is coming.
There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big Panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
You're all up and joining us on this beautiful Monday morning. A lot going on over here. A lot to catch you up on. Hope you had a great weekend. And it was a little chaotic. A lot for me to keep up with. I had myself quite the interesting cooking weekend. I know a lot of you follow me on X. You probably saw. I was busy in the kitchen teaching friends how to cook. I taught Savannah Hernandez yesterday how to make chicken parmesan. So that was a busy weekend for me. I hope you all enjoyed yours. We got a lot to dive into right now. I'm going to be going over the latest regarding the war with Iran. I don't know if the White House is officially calling it a war. I think I've heard a couple of sound bites here and there. But, I mean, at this point, we're full on war. President Trump saying that we're not budging from this either. He wants a full surrender. I'll give you the very latest on that front. We're also talking about the suspected Islamic terrorists in New York City. A lot happening on that front that we'll be diving into because it brings back the argument that they try to make about legal immigration. Legal immigration has been one of our biggest issues in this country. And Rhino Republicans tell you, oh, no, we love legal immigrants. No, the people that come into our country over these last few years, specifically from the Middle East region, have been absolute trash. And the repercussions of that are still being felt generations later. So we'll dive into that in just a little moment. The New York Post dropping an exclusive, and we'll detail that for you as well. We'll also be talking about John Cornyn because there's tons of sound bites that prove John Cornyn is a rhino deep state operative. But the problem with that is it seems like President Trump is positioning himself to endorse Cornyn for re-election. You know, the guy who hates President Trump, the guy who's made it his mission to go after President Trump. In fact, every main deep state operative that's ever been named, John Cornyn has backed and endorsed. And I mean, literally, he's gone on like this love fest tour with people like James Comey and others. So we got the clips for you. We're going to prove it. President Trump about to make a very fatal mistake if he does decide to endorse Cornyn. We're also going to be diving into a couple of other topics going on all across the country, like Tom Tillis. Many of you guys know that is the senator from North Carolina. He's retiring. Why? Well, because, again, another we'll just call him a World Economic Forum operative because this guy has never backed down from telling the American people his alliance and pledging his alliance to the WEF. Interesting enough, he is going after and swinging at Stephen Miller. It's probably why Tillis is retiring and not looking to run for re-election because he knows the American people are against him because we've rejected as a whole the WEF's plans for the rest of us. So that will be something we dive into a little bit. Also, we're going to talk the Save America Act. I know the president keeps pushing it all week long, all weekend long. He's been pushing it on social media. That is exactly what Republicans in the Senate are trying to hold over the president's head. They actually just won't vote this in to law. They're just going to sit here and keep holding over his head because they want political capital from all of this. So I'll give you the latest on that. Also, it looks like one of the guards who was on duty during the Epstein suicide, well, he might have gotten like $5,000 deposited into his checking account prior to the suicide. Nothing suspicious, folks. Just look into the camera and say he killed himself. As I told our friends, Mr. Cash Patel and Dan Bongino do. All right, folks, got a lot happening here. Let's dive into the first couple of topics going on right now. We have some sad news. It looks like we have an update regarding what's happening in Iran. There's been a seventh service member killed. It's absolutely devastating. The announcement came yesterday from the Department of War. They announced that a National Guard soldier who was supporting their efforts, this was in Kuwait, was killed. Major Davius, Davius is the individual. He's from Queens, New York. Sadly, he passed away, obviously. They won't tell you exactly how. They just say it's non-combat related incidents was the exact quote that was sent over to me by the Department of War. So although we don't know the specifics of how he was killed, we do have that right now. Now, again, this has been an ongoing issue with this administration. Over the weekend, they welcomed home, sadly, those six soldiers who were killed in all of this, Iranian attack that they continue to unleash. Now, again, the president still refers to this as a success, but now that given the fact that seven U.S. service members have been killed in all of this, I don't understand how they continue to praise it. Like there's something here, that is worth praising at this point. Yes, he's taken out the Supreme Leader. Okay. But folks, seven dead U.S. service members. There's a lot to be said for that. Caroline Leavitt was asked a couple of tough questions yesterday when she was speaking with Maria Bartiromo over at Fox. And specifically, she was asked about those who are concerned right now, those American citizens who are concerned about a potential draft that might be underway very shortly. Listen to how Leavitt responded.
Yeah, and the president had an interesting exchange on Air Force One over the weekend, Caroline. I want to get your take about this idea of troops on the ground. Mothers out there are worried that we're going to have a draft, that they're going to see their sons get in and daughters get involved in this. What do you want to say about the president's plans for troops on the ground? As we know, it's been largely an air campaign up until now.
It has been, and it will continue to be, and President Trump wisely does not remove options off of the table. I know a lot of politicians like to do that quickly, but the president, as commander-in-chief, wants to continue to assess the success of this military operation. It's not part of the current plan right now, but the president, again, wisely keeps his options on the table. But as commander-in-chief, there's no greater priority or responsibility to this president than, of course, protecting the American people and protecting our troops and our bases in the Middle East, which Iran has been threatening for 47 years. They have killed and maimed thousands of American soldiers. And President Trump was not going to allow Iran to attack our bases and our troops and our men and women in the Middle East first. And that's why he took this historic action by launching Operation Epic Fury.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating to hear those kind of responses. The American people have every right to be nervous about a potential draft. Most importantly, why would we put boots on the ground? There is no benefit right now to the American people to do just that. And that's the reality behind all of this right now, folks. We have an administration that's trying to legitimize what they did in Iran. And I've been waiting patiently for there to be an actual response given to us to explain why now was the best time to launch these attacks. Obviously, we're on the horizon of midterms, and that to me is just superficial when you look at the landscape of all of this with seven dead U.S. service members. Seven. So now you're going to allude to the potential of there being boots on the ground in Iran. It doesn't make sense. Now, again, they'll tell you we can't tell you everything that we know, but we've heard this before. When they sit there and they fearmonger and they tell you that there was a looming threat, and that's why we had to act now. What is that looming threat? They've wiped out what? I mean, I've heard numbers about like 90% of the regime so far. So the fact that you can't tell us what was sitting in front of you to me is deeply concerning. I get it. They can't say, oh, it's classified information. We can't release everything to the public. But the American people have been led to believe that there's been potential threats all around the world. And they've led us and our service members into war, wars that have lasted years and years that have taken the lives of so many innocent Americans. And guess what? We actually never had a threat. A lot of it was cooked up lies by the intel community. So to sit here and to say, trust us, we know what we're doing. As we welcome home now seven dead U.S. service members, it's really hard to understand all of this. It's really, really difficult. And it's almost as if, okay, let's just say you don't really care for the seven lost service members. I don't know how you don't, but let's just say you don't. Let's just say you're superficial and only care about the political side of all of this. Well, right now we're on the horizon of obviously a very steep midterms. Republicans are dropping like flies. Many of them are refusing to run for re-election because they know it's about to be a slaughter this November. And the messaging from the White House is just trust the plan. But then it gets even worse because obviously oil prices are surging. And I don't want to sit here and be superficial again. But the reality of it is if you're into politics, you got to look at everything. And the reality of it is when I opened up my my news updates for today, I think it said it was about $130 a barrel for oil right now, which is really steep. Also, Saudis aren't going to be producing the same amount anymore, rightfully so, because they are under attack as well. So we have a lot of issues here. We have a lot of issues. And right now we keep hearing from this administration to just trust the plan. Trust the plan. Now, the reason why I find all of this extremely, extremely concerning is for, well, more of a simple reason. The administration continues to come out there and tell us all, okay, listen, things are getting really bad right now, but we've got this all under control. And I want to be hopeful because I do truly believe that Pete Hegseth, still to this day, is the best person to lead the Pentagon. But when it comes to the economic damage, and that's something that this White House has been so prideful on, this White House has pushed forward their economy as being one of their top perks of their administration. Well, right now we're looking at something that they refer to as short-term pain for long-term gain. That's what they're referring to when it comes to these oil prices surging due to the attacks in Iran. And it's not just me saying it, folks. That is the common theme being spewed by all the latest talking heads. Take a listen to clip two.
This is a short-term disruption for the long-term gain.
Short-term pain for the long-term gain.
Short-term pain be for long-term gain.
We're going to have some short-term pain with long-term gain.
Short-term pay for a long-term gain.
Some short-term pain, yes, but we've got some long-term gain. Short-term spike for a long-term gain.
Some short-term pain for American consumers.
We may have to deal with that in the short term.
Short-term and temporary.
Temporary short-term pain.
It's going to suck in the short term.
Some short-term pain.
Short-term pain.
We have to focus on the short-term.
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 Short-term and long-term.
Short-term.
Hopefully this is a short-term. Short-term pain,
short-term, is highly outweighed of the long-term benefits.
Some short-term pain for the long-term gain.
Short-term sacrifice for a long-term gain.
Yeah. The American people are tired of being told that you have to make a short-term sacrifice. The reality is we've been doing this for, what, 5 years now? 5 years. The American people can't afford their bills. They can't afford their expenses. You could barely afford to put food on the table these days. You know, every time I post something on social media about me cooking, there's repeated responses from a lot of folks at home saying, Brianna, most of us can't even afford to eat steak these days. Most of us can't even afford to buy chicken these days. So to sit here and to keep pushing the narrative like it's somehow patriotic for us to sit here and just keep coughing up cash, to not have any money in your savings account, to be living paid by... to be living check to paycheck every single week. It's absurd. It's not fair. It's unacceptable. It just shows that you have no actual grip on the reality that Americans are enduring. And there's a lot there for that. This administration was so prideful. I talk to people internally all the time, and they would never allow, let's just say, those leading certain agencies to make very sharp moves, moves that might somehow affect the economy. They never wanted that to happen because their economy has been their biggest strength. And they've let that be known. They've let that be known. And so behind the scenes, we're watching as people continue to go out there and say just that. President Trump even posted Truth Social, short-term oil prices, which will drop rapidly when the destruction of Iran's nuclear threat is over, is a very small price to pay. No. No, it's actually a very big price for Americans to continue to keep paying. It is, because the amount of debt that Americans are in is absolutely absurd. The fact that Americans can't even afford to buy houses in this country is absolutely absurd. We voted for President Trump to fix the economy, to fix the economy. And we're not even there yet. And I get it. It's a very complex issue. We could hash it out. Probably take me a full show to go through every single bit of all of this. But when you sit here and you try to rationalize people who could barely afford their bills that, well, if you're a patriot, you'll just suck it up. Again, it's more foreign wars that we don't want. We don't want. And I get it. I do. I truly believe that there is an Islamic threat. But guess what? It's here in this country already. It's here. I need to see some sign that there was some urgent matter that validated the United States going in there and attacking immediately. Right before midterms, right before Americans could recover from all the financial burdens they had to endure during the pandemic. Because guess what, folks? Prices still aren't down. Prices still aren't down. The White House keeps telling us inflation's down, inflation's down. Yes, but corporate greed isn't. A lot of these companies are still keeping their prices high because they know the American people have adjusted to paying these prices. That doesn't mean that you're earning a ton of more money. It just means that you've now said, all right, I'll pay $5 a gallon for milk and other things. It's just so crazy. It's just so crazy. You know, you can't even go to the grocery store. And we'll get into beef prices in a little bit because we've got an update on that story too. But beef prices are through the freaking roof. You know, for 2 pounds of ground beef yesterday, I paid $15.50 for 2 pounds. That's absurd. That's absurd. And that's a good deal. That's why I bought 2 pounds of it. It's just everything has gotten out of control. And to sit here and tell the American people that this is short-term pain highlights to the rest of us that you don't know what pain actually feels like. The economy was their greatest issue. And guess what? It's not looking too good. As we head into midterms, it's deeply concerning. And if you're wondering how and when are we going to get the bleeding to stop in this country, well, clip three is President Trump talking about just that. And when it comes to when these attacks on Iran are going to end, well, we don't really know. Take a listen.
Can you give us an idea of what unconditional surrender looks like to you? I mean, what do you want from Iran?
I said unconditional, not conditional. I said unconditional. It's where they cry uncle or where they can't fight any longer. There's nobody around to cry uncle. That could happen, too, because you know, we've wiped out their leadership numerous times already. So it's if they surrender or if there is nobody around to surrender, but they're rendered useless in terms of military.
You hear that? So we don't know exactly when this is all going to happen. We don't know if there's going to be boots on the ground. We don't know if there's going to be a draft. We don't know any of these things. We're just hoping that those in Iran who might still be in control surrender sometime soon. The American people don't want this, and they've had enough. They want off this ride. They didn't vote for this, and I get it. I get it. The president does think, because a lot of the polls are slanted now, and they're very favorable to President Trump because that's what this administration wants. They want favorable polls. So a lot of these pollster companies now, by the way, if they want to end with the administration, are going to be leaning their polls closer to this administration. Whatever they favor, because they want the president to talk about them, they want access. Guess what? The polls are going to be tilting their scales a little bit. Watch it. Watch it. I think I'm just done with pollsters altogether because I just can't trust what's going on right now in this country. Greed is a massive issue we have. But the reality of it is so many want to sit here and teeter to the president's ego. Now, I get it. This is the best president in my lifetime. But that's not saying much about presidents. That's more so saying a lot more about what we have going on currently. It's really frustrating to sit back and watch, mainly because the people that have the president's ear are a bunch of warmongers, and this wasn't supposed to be the case. I mean, when we sat there, we backed people like Tulsi Gabbard getting in. We liked her because she wasn't a warmonger. Pete Hegseth is a man who understands the consequences of war. We supported it. I supported him. And again, I get it. There's some things we're not going to know about. There's some things they can't tell us. But you can't sit here and say, just trust me. Because I don't trust any politician, especially those politicians whose first names start with Lindsay and last name starts with Graham. I don't trust him. And in clip four, it just goes to highlight again how much of a scumbag he is. Take a listen.
And we're going to win. All Israel right, and the United States, you just wait to see what comes in the next 2 weeks.
The next 2 weeks meaning what?
We're going to blow the hell out of these people. This regime is in a death throw now. It is going to be on its knees. It's going to fall. And when it falls, we're going to have peace like no other time. We're going to have prosperity unlike anyone could ever imagine. Peace brings prosperity. You can't do it by talking. The Democrats criticize this operation. They didn't do a damn thing. These men and women in the military should make us all proud.
Yeah, let's just keep pivoting. Let's just keep blaming those damn Democrats. Those damn Democrats. Lindsey Graham is a coward. And, you know, it's so frustrating to sit here and continue to see that he gets airtime. Why would anyone continue to put him on your shows? Why? He has zero credibility. We all know if he got his way, we'd be in World War III right now. This man has never put on a pair of boots ever in his life. He would never go out there and actually put his actions to what his words are saying right there. When you hear him sit there and say, oh, we're going to just completely nuke them all. Remember, he was also going after another country last week? That he wanted us to bomb Lebanon? You might as well just spin the wheel. And that's how Lindsey Graham decides what country he wants us to go to war with next. He's unhinged. He shouldn't have access to the White House. But for some reason, for some strange reason, he still does. Why? Why would you let that man anywhere near your administration? It's one of the many questions so many of us level-headed people continue to ask. And again, I'm someone who truly believes that there is a Islamic terror threat to this country. But they haven't sold any of us on it yet. We haven't seen any evidence, We're supposed to cover your eyes and just follow the leader and hope for the very best. Well, I think the majority of Americans are through with that. I think the majority of Americans have seen enough. I think the majority of Americans want off this ride. We did not vote for higher gas prices, for a war with Iran, to freeing people in foreign countries over our own. We didn't vote for that. And later in the show, we'll talk a little bit about Cuba as well, because the president apparently has his eyes focused on Cuba and liberating Cubans. You know, it's crazy. One of my friends actually reached out to me the day after the attacks in Iran, or maybe it was 2 days after. And he was very excited to see what he saw because he's very pro-Israel. And again, I have friends from both sides of the spectrum, this argument. And he was said that he was celebrating the liberation of Iranians. I said, well, when are you going to go out there and help them? You see, it's so safe for those internally in the United States to allow our service members to go out there and fight their fights for them. If you truly believe in the cause that you say you believe in, go out there. Do something. Do something. Do it yourself. To sit here and to use these young people and to send them off into another Middle Eastern country and say, go out there, patriots, and then pretend like there's some noble cause to this. I don't see the noble cause as of yet. I don't see it. I'm not going to go full in and go off that cliff yet, but I will tell you that what we've seen so far isn't enough. Interesting enough, too, I want to get to this one. President Trump on Truth Social also tweeting about the United Kingdom, once our greatest ally, maybe the greatest of them all, is finally giving serious thought to sending two aircraft carriers to the Middle East. That's okay, Prime Minister Starmer. We don't need them any longer. But we will remember, we don't need people that join wars after they've already been won. Hey, folks, guess what? This war has not been won yet, but also, the UK has been taken over by Islamists. They can't sit there and risk joining us in another Middle Eastern war. What will happen to their cities? They'll likely be taken over by jihadists, terror attacks, endless terror attacks, because they've disarmed their citizens, their police disarmed. So they can't take that chance. Folks, I want to let you all know right now over at thealexjonesstore.com, we have our sale going on right now. Methylene blue, the capsules are 50% off when you purchase the liquid drops that we have over at the shop. Also, it is the March mega sales going on right now, up to 40% off of some of your favorite supplements for a limited time. It includes Ultimate Burn, NAD+, Life Force, Sea Moss gummies, and more over at thealexjonesstore.com.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalists. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalists. And the AlexJonesTour.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexJonesTour.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesTour.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesTour.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend, special deals, special offers. And with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on TheAlexJonesTour.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAlexJonesTour.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back. Another day, another Islamic terror attack, this time taking place in New York City. Many of you guys know there was protests over the weekend, and it took place in New York. Now, it's been taken over by a jihadist himself, in my opinion, of course. So, Omar Madani is now running the city. And it's quite clear that he is a, he's a very, very, he's a punishment for our immigration system. That's probably the best way to phrase it. He was not a U.S. citizen until we allowed him to become a U.S. citizen. Then he ran for New York City mayor. And now, obviously, as someone who is a sympathizer to Islamic terror, as an Islamist himself, he is someone who is going out there and is very empathetic for those who want to carry out these attacks. Let's go through what happened over the weekend. Right now, we actually just heard moments ago from the NYPD commissioner. Now, she came out and said that there was devices which contained nuts, bolts, screws, and fuse. Now, she said those devices were thrown into crowds of anti-Islamists. Now, she says this, but she also says now that this investigation is being looked at as a potential terror attack that was inspired by, get this, ISIS. Now, keep in mind the suspects that have since been arrested are, in fact, American citizens. But the reality of it is their parents came here to this country. And we'll get into that threat in a little bit about how we are seeing a lot of individuals who call themselves Americans leave this country and get radicalized outside of this country and trained outside of this country to commit jihad in this country. So far, it looks like, according to the Daily Mail, six people were arrested for these homemade explosive devices that were thrown into crowds outside of Zohra Mahdani's home. Now, again, they won't tell us exactly if these bombs were functioning or if it was just a hoax. Obviously, not the smartest individuals. Quite dumb. But I've never met a smart jihadist. So there's that. Now, this all took place, again, like I mentioned, at an anti-Islam protest that was going on outside of the mayor's home. The protest apparently drew, according to reports, 20 people, while around 125 counter-protesters gathered nearby. Now, here's where things get a little funny. Okay. The two individuals who have since been arrested for all of this, one's 18, one's 19. According to the New York Post, apparently these two individuals have traveled outside of the country recently. The New York Post is claiming that they were self-radicalized in recent years and traveled to terror hotspots, including Turkey. Also Saudi Arabia. And Australia as well. That's a common theme here. We see this quite often where a lot of these individuals will take a quick couple of months to go train for their jihad. And then they make their way back into our country. Now, because of all of this, because it's so off the radar, we rarely see these attacks get stopped. Why? Well, because would you suspect an American to carry this out? No, most of us would expect a foreigner. But when you look at the recent terror attacks that have taken place, understand they have taken place when it comes to Islamic terrorism by American citizens. Yes, there is a foreign threat. I truly believe that. But when it comes to those threats being carried out, well, guess what? Guess what? Those are American citizens. Those two were American citizens. Again, I was told, I believe one of their parents, one of the sets of the parents came here from Turkey. And so they were naturalized citizens. But then it gets even worse. You remember the 2025 terror attack that took place on New Year's Day in New Orleans? Well, that individual was American. Apparently he was a member of a mosque in Houston, Texas. And then made his way to carry out the terrorist attack in New Orleans. The terror attack we saw in Austin, Texas. What they won't tell you is an Islamic terror attack. By the way, he was wearing a Property of Allah shirt with underneath it was the Iranian flag. But we don't know the motive. They're hoping you're just as stupid as they are. What could possibly be the motive there? Well, that, again, was a naturalized U.S. citizen. And again, we talk about sleeper cells quite often, and I talk about it. It's based off the information we've received. But my girl Amy Meck over at the Rare Foundation tells me all the time, she said, Brianna, foreigners, yes, a threat. But the domestic issue here is one that doesn't get discussed enough. She's like, that is the real problem. Because a lot of these mosques are taking these people from their mosques, bringing them to all these countries where they're able to get radicalized, trained, and then they come back into our country. Because you wouldn't notice this. You wouldn't even suspect it. It wouldn't be on your radar because they are American citizens. That is the threat we're dealing with right now. So how do you fix? I mean, you know, I'm radical, so I'm saying deport them all. Ship them out. But what do you do when they're actually a U.S. citizen? It's a solid question. Solid question. Now, the FBI did raid both of their homes. And it's still kind of, you know, under wraps. According to reports, though, one of those makeshift bombs apparently was a sports drink bottle stuffed with TATP and then wrapped in construction tape. So again, not the most sophisticated bomb, but we're still waiting to hear if that explosive would have caused damage. Keep in mind, we actually don't even know if the J6 pipe bomb was one that could have been activated or one that would have caused any damage. So you have to wait in line if you want to hear about these. Now, again, we're sifting through reports, and NBC News also reporting, which has just been confirmed by the NYPD, that while law enforcement was speaking with one of the suspects, he did make a reference to ISIS. Bill Mnuchin also backing up those claims and also backing up the claims that, the parents were from Turkey in one of these cases. One of the parents was. The other one was from Afghanistan. Huh. They're not sending their best. Now, when it comes to Zohran Mamdani, well, he's just hyper-focused on the fact that, in his opinion, Jake Lang is a white supremacist. That's the individual who orchestrated the protest. Now, again, I'm not a fan of Jake Lang, so this is not a backing or an endorsement of his behavior. In my opinion, Jake Lang was abusing a goat the other day and thought it would be funny. I think he does more to hurt the movement than anything. But again, doesn't mean the guy should have a bomb thrown at him. He does have a First Amendment right, given whatever he wants to protest, to protest. But this is what's going on right now in this country right now. This is what's going on. And we have folks trying to debate and pretend like there's some type of acceptable legal system here when it comes to immigration, that we should allow some of them. Not all of them are bad, Brianna. Only a small group of them. Well, if I gave you four apples and told you only one of them was fatal, would you even take the chance of biting into all four of those apples? No, you wouldn't. Would you take the chance of maybe biting into two of those apples? No, you wouldn't. So why the heck do we do this to ourselves? Why do we hate ourselves so much that we've allowed people who despise us into our country? Into our country. You know, we've been told for so long the immigration system was one that was the best of the best. That immigrants were coming to our country to make us a better country, and that it was going to have some way make us a better place to live. I don't believe any of that nonsense. Folks, we've imported a third world, expecting them to somehow elevate us when they can't even elevate their own countries. And so right now we're dealing with this issue where we've allowed people from Turkey, from Afghanistan, and other countries into our country. And it's not even directly those immigrants. It's the children that they're spewing. And this is what's going on right now. This is what's going on. They don't want to talk about the domestic threat. The domestic threat here is the fact that we have American citizens going to countries that hate us. They're becoming jihadists, and they're coming back to our country to carry out those terror attacks. Why? Because it flies under the radar. It flies under the radar. How about if you've ever been to these countries at this point, we just say, no, you're not coming in, whether you're a U.S. citizen or not. Folks, we've heard this. I've seen the reports. Amy Mack from the RAIR Foundation, that's R-A-I-R, does an incredible job at detailing all of this. And she details how a lot of these mosques are literally sending their members to these countries. I wonder why. I've also heard unconfirmed reports from numerous sources that a lot of these mosques store weapons under their mosques. Now, the reason why I say it's unconfirmed is I can't send anyone to verify it. And our United States government is a little bit of a coward these days. You know, the people who are supposed to serve and protect us. The government itself is a coward because, well, they deem Islam as a religion. And so because they deem it as a religion, what they believe is they can't infringe on their right to practice. So they will not be sending anyone in there to look into these mosques, whether or not it's true. The reason why I keep hearing these reports is local law enforcement, those who are part of local law enforcement, at least, or fire departments or EMT workers, tell me specifically that when they try going into these mosques, they won't allow them into the basement. They get reports of an elevator-related issue, but they can't get down to the lower floor. They won't let them. A lot of individuals truly do believe that they are storing an arsenal of weapons, and we can't do anything about it. Why? Because they deem Islam as a religion. Folks, we have a massive domestic issue here in this country, and we're being outsmarted by people who have mainly come from countries that have been so, they've destroyed themselves based on inbreeding. Their IQs are extremely low, and for some reason, they're outsmarting our immigration system. How is that even possible? How is that even possible? It's a serious question that's worth answering. Chip Roy, for all of my personal feelings about Chip and lack of action he's taken up while being a member of Congress over the last few years. He's done a great job over these last few weeks going out there and talking about the Islamic threat. It's not an easy task to take up because, you know, as soon as you go out there and start talking about it, the death threats skyrocket. Because it's the religion of peace, of course. In clip five, Chip Roy detailed specifically about why Zohra Mamdani won't blame the Islamists for throwing that bomb yesterday, or Saturday, I believe it was, into the crowd. And why he's only blaming one person. And the person, of course, that he's blaming is the one who didn't throw the bomb. Take a listen to clip five.
It's deeply concerning what's going on in New York City. Today's turn of events and finding the device there in the automobile, not far from the, governor's mansion, then after what happened yesterday with those two IEDs, let's be very clear. I mean, Mamdani won't say it, but these were two Muslims who were shouting, Allahu Akbar. And, we know what the motive there is. And so in Austin, Texas, as you mentioned, just a couple weeks ago, we had that event where we had loss of life. We had University of Texas students, a Texas Tech University student, others who were killed. And, we're dealing with somebody who had a sweatshirt that said property of Allah, had a, Quran in the back of his car and was wearing an Iranian flag t-shirt. Again, you don't really have to do a deep level of investigation to look and see what the motives are here. You saw what happened on the airplane, where there was, death to America, death to Donald Trump. Look, when you've imported 18,000 people that are affiliated with terrorists, as happened under the Biden administration with illegal aliens coming here or through other programs, when you've allowed almost 5 million people to be imported into the United States since 9/11 from majority Muslim countries, then you're going to have a problem here at home. So the president's doing a great job. We're taking the fight to, obviously, what has been an evil regime in Iran that has been destabilizing to the world, a threat to our national security. I'm glad he's doing it, targeting the conventional weapons, targeting the nuclear weapons. Importantly, standing strong to defend our interests against Iran. But here we've got at home a larger population of people that are now sympathetic and are literally in New York City protesting in favor of the evil regime in Iran.
Yeah, you've imported terrorists that despise this country, and we're pretending like these are people who are going to contribute to our society. They're not going to. We keep telling ourselves this lie. It's not true. Yes, there's going to be a percentage of people who are good people. But if you love this country, you love the safety of this country, and you want to conserve what makes this country great, you wouldn't do this. You wouldn't do this. That's what we're dealing with right now in this country. Very few will speak their minds and say the truth. Chip Roy now doing just that. We're thankful for it. Obviously, he's running for AG in Texas, and so we hope it's not just for political gain. But only time will tell. Only time will tell. Speaking of political gain, I want to talk about what's going on in the Senate right now. You see, it's really frustrating, but the Senate, who has repeatedly held up President Trump's confirmation picks, refusing to confirm key players who would have done a great job over at the AG's office, who would have done a great job running the weaponization groups. They just don't like them because, well, they're going to do too good of a job and go after the deep state operatives who have been trying to destroy this country, the deep state operatives that they too work for. It's quite obvious. John Cornyn is one of those deep state operatives, in my opinion. He has done so much, folks, over these last few years, that it actually infuriates me that the president of the United States is somehow thinking about endorsing John Cornyn. Thinking about it. We have primaries for a reason, because the American people get to pick the candidates they want representing them in Washington, D.C., not the D.C. swamp, But President Trump has the Save America Act that he's looking to get pushed through, and now it seems like Senate Republicans are trying to use that and hold it over his head. Well, if you want this, you got to endorse our deep state operative, Mr. John Cornyn. And from what it sounds like, the president seems interested. John Cornyn is a piece of garbage. He has sat here and ignored his constituents and doesn't work for them. In fact, we know this because we have tons of endless proof that he, in fact, is working for the enemy. And all you have to do is just Google John Cornyn and any type of controversy within the White House, and you find a quote that is not favorable towards this administration. He, again, is not working for the American people. He is working for a higher power that is trying to control our federal government. They somehow, some way, have gotten their grips on John Cornyn. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to the reel of John Cornyn being against everything that MAGA stands for in clip six. Take a listen.
I can say from firsthand experience that a new giant wall between the United States and Mexico, from sea to shining sea, makes no sense whatsoever.
Part of his agenda is building a wall. He campaigned on it. Your state voted for him in part because of that. And then you were quoted the other day saying you're not for a wall and the people of Texas are not for a wall. What gives you that impression, considering I think you won your state 9 points, something like that, pretty definitive win, running on the wall? Why would you think your voters would not be for that?
Well, I'm the Texas border, and one reason I took my colleagues to Texas was to show them this 1,200-mile border, some of which has 3,500-foot cliffs in the Big Bend area where no wall is really necessary.
Mr. Comey, I'll repeat what I've said at previous hearings, that I believe you're a good and decent man who's been dealt a very difficult hand. I've heard them described, some of these folks described as white supremacists, domestic terrorists, insurrectionists, rioters, seditionists, anarchists, the list goes on and on. But I note that you said there is no federal crime described as domestic terrorism per se, correct?
That's correct.
And as I look at the range of charges that the FBI and the Department of Justice have made against the people that have been investigated for the events of January the 6th. I read a list of assaulting federal officers, tampering with documents or proceedings, unlawful entry, disorderly conduct, conspiracy, theft of government property. Do you think the current laws are adequate to deal with this threat? It strikes me that these are a lot of different tools that are available, but don't really get to the whole heart of domestic terrorism.
You've said that you think it's time for the Republican Party to move on from President Trump. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, in politics, unless you can win an election, you're pretty much irrelevant. And I just think it's critical that, given the direction of the country now under the Biden administration, that Republicans nominate somebody who can win a general election.
Talk about the Russia investigation, and I agree with her 100%, that it is our responsibility to get to the bottom of what exactly happened due to Russian involvement in our elections, much as they got involved in the elections in France, using a combined process known commonly as active measures. It's a combination of cyber espionage, it's propaganda. It's use of social media through paid trolls who can actually then try to raise the visibility of some of this propaganda such that it then becomes part of the mainstream media.
John Cornyn never seems to miss a beat. He always loves talking about those paid trolls. He himself is a troll, but he's a troll in the Senate, and he needs to be taken out of his position. And the reality of it is right now it's obviously going to be a very, very heated runoff race, and we really hope Ken Paxton, who says he's not going to, doesn't back down. Because, America, do you really want this type of politician representing you as a Republican? This post from John Cornyn dragging and bragging about DACA. DACA recipients deserve a permanent legislative solution. That's what the rest of us were thinking. Thanks, John Cornyn. Yeah, let's validate illegal immigration. Let's reward it with DACA benefits. Again, this is a man not working for you, the American people, not working for Texans, but working for deep state operatives. Those same deep state operatives who try to take out Brett Kavanaugh, remember through that Chrissy Blasey Ford's claims that were never proven to be factually true. There was actually never any evidence that was presented. In my opinion, I didn't believe her. But guess what? John Cornyn believed her. And we have the proof. In clip seven, take a listen.
Personally find her to be credible?
I found no reason to find her not credible. There are obviously gaps in her story. Obviously, we know people who are traumatized can have those sort of gaps. But again, I regret that she finds herself in this circus-like setting.
She finds herself being asked questions about the claim she's making because she doesn't have any physical evidence of those claims. John Cornyn, not a fan of that. Not a fan of that. I don't believe that Brett Kavanaugh should be able to defend himself. And President Trump knows that Cornyn is a coward, a rhino coward. In fact, there's tons of tweets and posts about just that, calling out John Cornyn for supporting gun control. He also referred to John Cornyn as a rhino who is, quote, hopeless. And obviously someone who is kneeling to the left's agenda. And it's not just me, it's also Charlie Kirk in Clip 8, who also felt the same way about John Cornyn giving his constituents the middle finger. Take a listen.
It is simply and purely shocking. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about his voters. Any decent person that gets booed by their voters, any decent person that all of a sudden gets rebuked by the very people that gave them political power would stop and say, maybe I'm heading in the wrong direction. And they'd back off. Instead, John Cornyn gets in front of the entire Texas Republican convention and gets booed. And then he goes back to D.C. and says, I'm going to show those people. I'm going to show the deplorables. I'm in charge, not you. I'm the senator, not you. I'm in charge. I have never, in my 10 years of doing this, seen such an intentional, brazen, and defiant mode of action as what I have just seen from John Cornyn. I'm not saying it's the worst bill I've ever seen. That's not true. I'm not saying that it's the worst vote I've ever seen. That's not the point. The point I'm making is I have never seen in my 10 years of doing this someone so openly rebuked by their voters and then so quickly turning 180 degrees around and saying, I don't care. I've never seen it. Usually when you show up to a town hall and you confront them, they say, okay, I'm done. I'm going to change my vote. Cornyn doesn't like you. And he jokes about it, actually. Cornyn hates you. He knows he'll still get money from his corporate donors. He knows that. Instead of being allied with his voters and be like, maybe there's something I could learn here. He pokes him in the eye and says, no, 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 no. I'm the senator. You're the serf. You're not a citizen. I'm in charge.
That's exactly how John Cornyn feels, and sadly the president is still reportedly considering endorsing that man. Got more proof that John Cornyn is a scumbag coming in 1 minute. In the meantime, though, head on over to theoxjonesstore.com right now. It's the March Mega Sale. It's going on for a limited time over at theoxjonesstore.com.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at theultrastore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
American Journal. Looks like you're on board with us right now. It looks like the president just put up a Truth Social post confirming a report that came from Just the News just a moment ago. In that post, he is confirming the report that claims that over in Arizona, it looks like the FBI secretly sees election records from Arizona's largest county, which I'm assuming is Maricopa County. And it's an expansion of their voting probe that's ongoing right now. Now, again, John Solomon reported weeks ago that there was going to be a raid at Maricopa County's facilities, but that raid was never made public. So if it happened, we didn't hear about it. But it looks like Just News giving us that update about the secret seize of those records, and President Trump also confirming just that moments ago. So there's your little update that you got going on there with that. All right, let's turn to this. Caroline Wren, who is speaking out about John Cornyn, she's doing a great job of just that. She was sounding off about how she believes John Cornyn, like I've told you before, is deep state operative. And she's been digging and digging and digging, and she's found a lot. Take a listen to clip 9.
For every controversial decision President Trump has made, and of course by controversial, I mean something that Morning Joe and Mika don't like. But for every, I guess, controversial decision, there is a statement from John Cornyn criticizing President Trump about it. And, you know, we knew Cornyn was bad, but the barrage of oppo that has dropped on him over the last 72 hours exposing Cornyn's record, I am in shock just how bad it is. I decided to get out my copy of Government Gangsters here by Cash Patel. In this book, Cash Patel lists out, there's an index of names of the worst and most corrupt deep state actors. And I went through the list of names, index name by name, and just search that person's name and then John Cornyn's statement. Literally without fail, John Cornyn has defended every single bad actor listed in this book. I mean, like, it is just, it is amazing to me that he goes out of his way. When Trump criticized Gina Haspel, for example, Cornyn went on television and said she was doing a fantastic job. And when Trump fired Mark Esper, Cornyn went on TV and called it unhelpful and unnecessary. When Trump criticized Dr. Fauci for refusing to open schools and businesses, John Cornyn called Fauci a national treasure. When Biden nominated notorious Russiagate hoax co-conspirator Lisa Monaco for deputy AG, Cornyn took to the Senate floor to give a full-throated, glowing endorsement for her nomination. When Trump wanted to fire Robert Mueller, Cornyn defended Mueller's honor, saying it would be a huge mistake for Trump to fire him. When Trump fired James Comey, Cornyn went on TV and called it a troubling and terrible decision. Where Cornyn, I mean, repeatedly praised and slobbered over James Comey, calling him a good and decent man. Quick reminder, James Comey called for the assassination of President Trump. When the sham E. Jean Carroll verdict came out, Cornyn ran to MSNBC to say that because of this verdict, Donald Trump was unelectable and shouldn't run again. When Alvin Bragg was indicting Trump, John Cornyn defended Bragg and said the process was necessary and needed to play out. Regarding January 6th, John Cornyn compared it to 9/11, then called the J6 attendees, quote, white supremacists, domestic terrorists, insurrectionists, rioters, seditionists, and anarchists. He then asked then FBI Director Chris Wray if a new law was needed to charge the J6 attendees with domestic terrorism. And when the Senate tried to impeach Donald Trump for a second time, Cornyn's only complaint was that the impeachment process was actually holding up them and delaying Biden being able to get his cabinet nominees confirmed. And I could go on and on with these things. I was just going through this book, Googling John Cornyn's statement on that person. And without fair, he has defended each one of these deep state actors.
Now, as you saw there, it's factually true. I mean, he is a deep state operative who is defending these bad, bad characters. And it's ongoing, obviously. It's never ending. And for some reason, some strange reason, the president is considering backing that guy. Folks, if he backs John Cornyn, that is my forever black pill. I'm done. I'm so done. I'm done with them trying to pressure Ken Paxton to get out of this race. The people decide who they want representing them, not the D.C. swamp creatures. And the reality of it, John Cornyn doesn't represent Texans. And that is exactly what is going on right now. We definitely do not need John Cornyn in any of this anymore. And that should be the case. Folks, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com because we have our March mega sale going on right now. It's up to 40% off your NAD+, Ultimate Burn, Life Force, CMOS, MK Ultra, and so much more over at thealexjonesstore.com right now. And you head on over there, of course, and you support us by making a purchase. You're helping us stay up and running. And we're very grateful for just that. So stop what you're doing right now and head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. All right, more happening in just a second. We'll see you in a minute.
end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have domination for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultra-methylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robinson was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today. A lot happening over here that we want to dive into. I want to tee up this first guest on the program today, Ken Silva, in just a second. He's going to give us some overview and a lot of key stories I want to make sure are on your radar. Specifically, you may have seen the story about that Iranian death plot, the murder plot to kill President Trump. Well, there was a man, a Pakistani man, who apparently has been convicted on all of those charges, it looks like. Joining me to discuss is Ken Silva. He's here to break down what we've learned throughout the trial and what we know about this conviction. He is the editor over at Headline USA. He does an incredible job at breaking down all of the headlines for us. Welcome to the show, Ken. We're excited to have you back on the program. Okay, help us understand this, because he was convicted and happened actually quite quickly. So what's going on here?
Yeah, this is a really bizarre trial, because I've talked to you about this case for about a year or so, and I found it to be very dubious, almost comparable to the Whitmer Fednapping plot, where you had this Pakistani guy, Asif Mershant. He was led into the country in April 2024 under a significant public benefit parole program, which pretty much means that the DHS let him in on purpose so they could track him and just kind of put him under surveillance. He was introduced to an FBI informant who drove him around New York all the time. And supposedly they cooked up this assassination plot to either take out Trump, Nikki Haley, or Joe Biden. The FBI informant, who had worked for the U.S. Army as a translator in Afghanistan, introduced him to two undercover FBI agents who took him to a strip club, and supposedly they discussed this plot some more. He agreed to make a $5,000 down payment, and he couldn't get the money, though, which kind of raises questions how serious this guy was. He had to beg for it from a cousin in Tanzania. Finally, he gets the money with the help of the FBI informant. The FBI informant picks up the money for him, gives him the cash, and then he hands it to the FBI agents. And then he's arrested on July 12, 2024, which, of course, is the day before Trump was shot in Butler. With all that said, though, this defendant made the inexplicable decision to take the stand on the last day of his trial, where he said, yeah, somebody that I believe to be an Iranian intelligence operative did recruit me to do these things. So he kind of admitted his own guilt on the stand, which I consider to be pretty much legal malpractice by his lawyers. But, you know, you got to admit that at least he thinks that Iran still did hire him to do this. I have my doubts. I think this guy's very mentally unstable. Maybe it was a fringe element of the Iranian government might have had him do this. Maybe it was organized crime that put him up to this. But I really don't think it was the central Iranian regime. And the reason I say that is because you got to imagine if Iran were to actually assassinate a U.S. major politician, they would be totally wiped off the map, which, you know, might be a moot point now, but their incentive structure isn't aligned. If they killed Trump, they get totally, they probably, we'd use nuclear weapons on them. And I don't think the Iranian regime is suicidal. We have a well-documented history of them acting in rational ways. I mean, after Trump bombed them in June 2025, they retaliated by lobbing a few missiles at U.S. bases in Iraq, but they called up Trump beforehand and told him that we're going to shoot like 9 missiles and these are exactly where they're going. So that's not behavior of a government that's totally on a suicide mission, like a jihad against the U.S. I do think they're rational, and I still have a lot more questions about this case. And that's not just me saying it. You've got guys like FBI whistleblower Steve Friend saying, yeah, this is has all the hallmarks of manufactured terrorism, total entrapment of, you know, a seemingly mentally ill guy. I have had people accuse me of like, oh, at this point you're running cover for the Iranian regime. And it's not that I'm defending this guy. It's I'm annoyed that this case is now being used as propaganda for to support the war in Iran. I mean, this morning, some pro-Israel account with like 300,000 followers quotes a Tucker Carlson, well, hey, you said if Iran tried to kill Trump, you'd support nuking Iran. Well, what say you now because of this case? And that's really, that's just not the point of the justice system. The American courts, the FBI and the DOJ are supposed to keep us safe, not cook up these politically charged cases. So that's my whole beef here with this case.
Yeah, and I'm going to get to that in a second, too, because I don't understand why we're sitting here pretending like we have some evidence to back up his claims that the Iranian government was the ones who pushed him forward on all of this. It didn't really seem to make sense. Ken, before we dive into that, though, I just wanted to break some news to our audience in regards to the Department of War that just sent me over this message. They are officially IDing the 7th individual who was killed, a part of Operation Epic Fury, Benjamin Pennington is his name. He's a sergeant. He's 26 years old. Sadly, he lost his life on March 8th is when he apparently died from his, well, is when he died from the attack. He comes from Kentucky. He is the 7th killed in action death that just has recently taken place. This is according to my quick notes that came from the Pentagon and were just sent in moments ago. He was killed in Saudi Arabia, it looks like. And the attack was the attack that took place on March 1st. So that official identification coming in, sadly, and our prayers are with the family and all of this. It's absolutely devastating to hear that we have now officially. Well, this, he's technically, the Pentagon telling me he's the 7th one that was killed in action. Earlier in the show, we reported another individual. He wasn't killed in action, but they won't give us any detail as to what his death was all about, the background information on that. So just keep that in mind. But Ken, I want to kind of pivot and dive back into this. This story itself, because Steve Friend is also coming out, and he's the FBI whistleblower who I highly respect, is coming out and talking about this too. And again, he's calling out the FBI's classic habit of entrapping those who may be mentally ill and then trying to use it for a bigger terror plot. Now, again, it's strange, right? Because when you look at the details of all of this, and you just walked us through most of them, but they're claiming that he was planning on killing President Trump, Joe Biden as well, Nikki Haley. I can understand probably Nikki Haley and Donald Trump, but to add Joe Biden to it just seemed quite strange. And Steve Friend calling it out as another setup by the feds. Your reaction to Steve Friend's comments?
I totally agree. And again, nothing about this case makes sense. Again, the defendant does believe that some Iranian operative recruited him to do this, but he did not have the means. I mean, the FBI informant picked him up from the airport, drove him around, help him get this cash. Another thing I'd like to add is that once he was in prison, the Bureau of Prisons Intelligence Unit filed a report saying that he has no known IRGC associates in the U.S., meaning no Iranians connected to him are in the country. And that's another significant data point that shows that this plot had no teeth, and now it's being used as a war propaganda.
Yeah, well, really no surprise there. This is typical of what they do. And no surprise. You know, I was on with Alex the day after the terror attacks, or I'm sorry, the day after the attacks in Iran took place. And, you know, the propaganda was being spewed. And I said it comes from both sides. Both sides like to use these type of things as like kind of like something to pull at your heartstring. Obviously, we hear about the fatal attack that took place at that school in Iran as well. I said, hold on a second. If it is true, you don't know who was the one to cause it. Obviously, I can't imagine that the Iranian government would allow girls to go and attend a school, but most importantly would want or would have any empathy for innocent children being killed. I mean, they've killed thousands of protesters, and it would also infuriate a lot of people to go after Israel and the United States for the attacks. But then also, I mean, would Israel tell us that they accidentally bombed a school in Iran? So again, the propaganda is real, and I think Americans are pretty well prone to this now. We ask a lot of questions, a lot of uncomfortable questions that they don't want us asking, and we're just kind of used to it these days. I want to pivot a bit because this is also another assassination plot, and I actually never even heard about this one, but this is one that you've done some diving into, about an 18-year-old who was sentenced to two life terms without parole for shooting and killing his mother and his stepfather as well. Now, you've sifted through all the information. Tell us a little bit about this one.
Yeah, I think I've been talking to you about these assassination cases for over a year, and we haven't touched on this one, which is arguably just as important as the Thomas Crooks or the Ryan Ruth case for the public to know about. And that's because it touches on these kind of fringe dark online chat rooms like 764 and other places where kind of mentally unstable teens share gore material, child pornography, animal torture, and just other really heinous footage. To the FBI's credit, they have, Kash Patel has devoted more resources to tackling these networks of chat rooms. Basically, I describe it as there's like 0.01% of the population is interested in this heinous material, but they all congregate in the same chat room and sort of normalize this behavior. And moreover, these chat rooms almost serve as like watering holes for predators to come try to manipulate these mentally unwell people, which is exactly what happened here with Nikita Kassip. He was into this gore material in 2023. The FBI actually visited his parents' home. Apparently, he was banned from the computer for a couple years, but he got back into it in December 2024. And then there was this terrorist attack in Paris where a Saudi migrant ran over some people with a truck. A cute little white girl was killed. And this, apparently, according to the court records, this really made the kid snap. And he goes to these chat rooms. He goes on a Telegram chat room and tells people that I want to assassinate a politician in revenge for this Paris attack. He eventually talks to at least two people that his lawyers say actually manipulated him into this plot. The plan was, he sent these people $8,000 in Bitcoin, and they sent him coordinates to a supposed safe house in Eureka, California. And the plan was that he was going to assassinate Donald Trump with a drone with explosives, make his way to the safe house, and then eventually escape to Ukraine, which is where these people were located. Apparently, this was a ruse. The safe house never existed. He kind of got scammed by these people. But to fund this plot, he murdered his own parents and stole all their money. And then he ended up living there for like 2 weeks while their corpses were still in the home. These scammers in Ukraine send him the coordinates, and he makes his way for Eureka, California, where he's eventually apprehended in Kansas. This was about a year ago, arrested. On Thursday, he was sentenced to two life sentences without the possibility of parole. He did express remorse, saying he converted to Christianity now and that he's very, very sorry. He misses his mother. Just an awful, awful story, but it really underscores the importance, not only in terms of the politics, the assassination plot, but for parents to just keep their kids off these fringe chat rooms that glorify school shooters and things like that, because this is just about as bad as it gets.
Yeah, Ken, I mean, this is the consistency here. I think there are so many of these stories that we hear about and these kids being radicalized online. It's devastating, of course. I don't know how parents get a full grip on it. So many parents are working two jobs, or both parents are working, and so it's really hard for them to be focused on these issues. But it just seems like, and then we have the issue with the age verification, which I know a lot of these platforms are now going to be utilizing. They want your IDs. They want to take your biometrics. But we don't know what they do with that afterwards. So again, it's it's one of the many layers of this discussion is how do you protect your children who maybe are suffering from any type of mental health issues that could be easily wrapped up into these chats. And it's really, really bad. Do you think there was any legitimacy behind his plot, though, or was it just all talk?
Well, he certainly had a plan for it. So he's talking to these two guys in Ukraine who say, send us money and we'll give you a drone, coordinates to a safe house. And that obviously is a huge red flag. Like the whole thing I should mention is they wanted to assassinate Trump and blame it on Russia to sort of escalate the war. And so these two guys exist. We know that they goaded this kid on, and the prosecution though kind of downplayed it, saying, well, Kasip approached them with the plan first and they just scammed him. The safe house never existed. They never were going to give him a drone in the first place. So to that extent, the plot was not credible, but the kid did get manipulated by bad actors in Ukraine. And that, again, why these guys aren't prosecuted for at very least being partly responsible for the parents' murder is certainly one question I have.
Yeah, well, we have many questions, and we don't get many answers, Ken. And speaking of that, too, it gives me a nice little pivot to the next topic of discussion. When it comes to Thomas Crooks, we don't get a lot of answers from the FBI, who claims to be actually very transparent, but it doesn't seem to be the case. You know, our good friends over at Judicial Watch had to go out there and file lawsuits to get some information regarding Crooks. It was the same information that myself, Miranda Devine, and Tucker Carlson put out there. I believe, though, a lot of this was written off by the FBI as fake news reporting or false reporting, I think how is how they kind of phrased it. But it seems to be truth, the truth. DeviantArt, which was an account that I reported on, as well as Miranda Devine, was something I believe they told us that this wasn't like the actual account, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to go deep to the archives to find out what BS excuse they gave us. But it looks like based on the documents that have recently been retrieved by Judicial Watch, that there actually is some legitimacy behind the report itself. What are you learning?
Yeah, this is really interesting. So just quick background, Judicial Watch had to file the lawsuit, even though Kash Patel says that they've disclosed everything in this investigation. The FOIA lawyers say, actually, we have 45,000 responsive records, and they've been kind of trickling them out at a pace of 50 a month only for the last 2 months. So it's going to take years before all these records come out unless the courts can force the FBI to pick up the pace. But the record you're referencing was released a few days ago, and it shows that FBI agents were looking into this DeviantArt account that's linked to Crooks, where he's got this these drawings of really graphic things like somebody bashing somebody over a head, somebody shooting somebody. And yeah, I guess you could probably say more about it than I can because this was your story. But it's really ironic that, you know, you broke this a couple months ago after the FBI had been quiet for 18 months. And it turns out that according to these records, that's a July 18th, 2024 memo. They were looking at this account within days of the shooting. So it's really just disgusting that they kind of attack like Miranda Devine and you and Tucker Carlson for releasing this info when they were sitting on it the whole time. You know, there were a couple other records in this latest 50-page dump. There's something about Memphis tracking a package that was sent to Crooks' home. I got to imagine that that might have been bomb-making materials. We know he was ordering things like racing fuel to construct ANFO bombs with. There was another one that I just thought was kind of funny in a morose kind of way where they talk about getting a tip, but it's unreadable, so they just closed the lead. They didn't try to decipher the tip. I get the sense that, you know, if you type a document up on like a .txt form and send it from like a MacBook to a PC, it shows up as like jumbled code. So instead of trying to like decode the message and seeing what the tip said, they're like, nah, let's just close it. So it really shows the lack of seriousness with which they took this investigation. You know, that's about it. 50 pages a month. We'll be getting these disclosures for many years. The rest of the documents are like them interviewing local cops, which we already have the local cop testimony from the congressional investigation. So I wouldn't really say there was too much revelatory here. However, there was more Butler shooting news last week that I would argue is far more interesting, and that is the DHS Inspector General wrote a letter to the Homeland Security Committee saying that he's being blocked from investigating the Butler shooting. Specifically, he says that he's got an investigation into how the Secret Service shares in intelligence, which is a huge deal because leading up to Butler, the Secret Service was getting intelligence of a so-called Iranian threat, which turned out that was actually the Asif Mershont case that we just talked about. That's what they were kind of informed about. But the big deal here is that the Trump's security team was briefed in the FBI field office in D.C., specifically the leader of the team, Sean Curran. But for some reason, Trump's detail never passed along the intel about an Iranian threat to the local Pittsburgh field office. And so when Butler happens, the Pittsburgh guys have no idea that there's like a heightened threat environment. You know, Trump nearly gets shot. There's a big uproar. Four out of the five agents to get punished were all from the Pittsburgh office. So even though they didn't have this intelligence about a heightened threat environment, they are the ones thrown under the bus. Meanwhile, the head of Trump's team, Sean Curran, he gets promoted. He's now the director of the entire Secret Service. So, and he's the guy that didn't pass along the intelligence. And now you have the DHS Inspector General trying to investigate this, and he's being blocked. And I think it's reasonable to ask, is the Secret Service Director, Sean Curran, the guy who never passed along the intel to the Pittsburgh office, is he the guy blocking this investigation? I would be willing to guess the answer is yes.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely be looking into that because that's something that the American people want to know a little bit more about. Ken Silva, you do a great job over at Headline USA. So folks, give him a follow too on X. We highly recommend it. It's at JD_cashless, whereas where you could find him on Twitter. Again, that is at JD_cashless is where you are on X. He does great reporting, dives into all the government documents that so many miss out on. Ken, you're doing the great, great work that we are very appreciative of you doing. So thank you, my friend. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Ken Silva, everyone. All right, folks. In the meantime, we will be diving into more stories in just a moment. But most importantly, we'll be taking some calls. So the number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number to call into the show. If you'd like to join the discussion, obviously a lot to kind of dive into there. So if there's any topics maybe we've discussed thus far that you want to talk about in detail, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. Also, it's a big day for us. We have our March mega sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. You got to head on over right now before we run out. It's up to 40% off some of your favorite supplements. Head on over. Ultimate Burn, Life Force, CMOS, MK Ultra, so many more of your favorite supplements currently on sale for 30 to 40% off over at thealexjonesstore.com. You gotta dive into it before it's too late. Again, it's only while supplies last over at thealexjonesstore.com. All right. We've got a lot more happening over here that I look forward to. By the way, Alex Rosen will be joining me in studio as well today. He'll be here in about an hour. We've got a lot to discuss with him. I've also got an update on a couple of really important stories like the Save America Act that you're going to want to hear about. So don't go anywhere. More to discuss in a moment.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it, because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalists. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalists. And the AlexJonesCorp.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexJonesCorp.com can keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesCorp.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesCorp.com, because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win, or a non-zero-sum game, or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue, or our Bovine Colostrum, or our CMOS, or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in, so you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals with everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Waking up America one narrative at a time. Brianna Morello is live on the American Journal right now on band.video and x.com.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all on board with us today. All right, so we're keeping up with the, diving into the stories in just a second, but we'll be taking your calls in about 20, 25 minutes. 877-789-2539 is the number to call into the program. Again, that's 877-789-2539. That is the number you're going to want to call into if you'd like to join the show. There was just a press conference in New York City, and it has to do with those two suspected ISIS-inspired terrorists who decided to throw two alleged bombs, IEDs, what they're, some of the mainstream media is calling it, into a anti-Islam crowd of protesters. Zohra Mahdani took to the podium to speak about the ongoing investigation. Let's take a listen.
Two men, Amir Balat and Ibrahim Kayumi, traveled from Pennsylvania and attempted to bring violence to New York City. They are suspected of coming here to commit an act of terrorism. There is video of these two individuals throwing two devices towards the protest. The police department has determined that these were improvised explosive devices made to injure, maim, or worse. Thanks to the swift and decisive actions of NYPD officers at the scene, both men were immediately taken into custody and the devices they brought taken off of our streets. I want to commend the officers who were on site. They faced a chaotic situation that very quickly could have become far more dangerous. NYPD Chief Aaron Edwards and Sergeant Luis Navarro ran towards the danger so that others could run to safety. They are here with us now, and I want to thank them today publicly as I did yesterday privately, and to thank the dozens of other officers who responded without hesitation. That is courage, that is selflessness, and I'm deeply grateful to both of them and to every member of the NYPD who works every single day to keep New Yorkers safe. As the NYPD continued their investigation yesterday, they found a third suspicious device in a vehicle on East End between 81st and 82nd Street. Out of an abundance of caution, they conducted a number of limited evacuations of nearby buildings before removing the device from the area. Once the device was removed, those evacuated were allowed to return to their homes. I am grateful for their continued work to keep New Yorkers safe.
Did you hear those key words, folks? Two men being investigated as if it's a terror plot. But he won't tell you, he won't say the words Islamic or ISIS. Can't say that. Can't say that. You might piss off your allies if you try to associate them with what took place over the weekend in New York City. See, this is why they, this is what they do. This is what they do. They try to manipulate the story. They try to hide the truth. The truth is that these scumbags were American scumbags who recently left the country and ran off to Middle Eastern countries, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and others. And it is believe that they may have been trained over there. Now, again, we don't know what training might have went underway. Again, we don't have those facts yet. But they're referring to this as an ISIS-inspired attack. ISIS-inspired. This is what's going on throughout the country. Zohra Ramadani, someone obviously who is an Islamist, who is openly bragging about the number of mosques increasing throughout New York City. He's very excited about that. But if you live in New York City, you're not very excited about it. Your way of life has completely changed for the worse, for the worse. Well, that's what's happening right now in New York City. All right, there's a couple other stories we want to dive into to make sure you know the very, very latest in regards to all of this. I want to get to clip 10 because Senator Tom Thune is one of the is one of the many rhinos that we have. But most importantly, I wouldn't even say he's just a rhino. I'd say that this is a guy. We've played the clip for you before, who is aligned with the WEF. He calls the World Economic Forum his daddy because, well, those are the people that control him. He doesn't hide from that. He openly said that when he was asked this year about his association with the WEF. He had no problem saying that he does align with them. So what is he doing? Well, he's doing what the WEF wants him to do. That means to go after Stephen Miller, because Stephen Miller wants, obviously, stricter immigration laws, but most importantly, he wants to purge these people from our country. Take a listen to Tillis, who's, by the way, not running for re-election. He's out because he knows that he is not going to win in North Carolina. Take a listen to clip 10 and how he demands that President Trump immediately fire Stephen Miller.
Do you think Stephen Miller should go?
Oh, of course I do. I think Stephen Miller is one of the. Not only does Stephen really want to just paint a picture, he's not worried about substance, he's more worried about form, but I also think that he has an outsized influence over the operations of the cabinet. And I believe we've got qualified cabinet members there that sometimes are doing less than what they want to because of his direction and his outsized influence. He's a big problem in this administration. He has been from the beginning. But Noem is a Senate-confirmed cabinet member. She should have been independent. I believe that Mark Wayne will be independent. I believe that Mark Wayne will be driven by data. He'll leverage law enforcement resources, expertise, people like Tom Holman to get things right. And if he doesn't, we'd hold him accountable. But I have a lot of confidence in my friend, and I'm looking forward to him getting this department under control so that Republicans can seize an issue that helped us get elected. Strong on the border, strong on deportation, strong on the rule of law.
Ah, but you have to get rid of Stephen Miller to do all of that. You see how they do it? You see how they do it? Stephen Miller is by far one of the best members of the administration, mainly because... Well, if you listen to all of his sound bites, he's been consistent from day one. He understands the threat better than anyone else. He's not afraid to call it out. He's not afraid to detail specifically what is the issue here. And so, yeah, this is what's going on right now. They're trying their best to push him out. It's not going to work. Folks, if you want to join the show, the number is 877-789-2539. We'll be taking your calls in about 20 minutes. That's 877-789-2539. I'll be going down the call list and having you guys all join in on the show. All right, there was a report that dropped. I want to make sure you guys saw this too. I believe this is the Wall Street Journal. According to them, there is a Trump-appointed U.S. attorney in the Southern District of Florida, Jason Redding, who apparently is, apparently he's one of the federal prosecutors who's working with the DEA, the FBI, and the Treasury to investigate the criminal case that they're apparently building up against Cuba's government and the Communist Party. Now, according to the report, the probe targets potential crimes such as drug trafficking, sanction evasions, immigration violations, economic offenses, violent crime, and others. This is a part of President Trump's effort to escalate the pressure against the Cuban communist regime. Now, as you guys have heard, President Trump has said it extensively that he is prepared to go after them. And he also warns that they're next. We heard him last week say it. We played you those clips. After going after Venezuela, now them, the communists over in Cuba, obviously Iran as well. I mean, this is something that should be on your radar, so I want to make sure it was brought to your attention. Now, the outlet also says the sources spoke anonymously due to the sensitive and unauthorized nature of the ongoing inquiry. So that's one for you. So it looks like Cuba is going to be next on the president's agenda. Let's keep the ball rolling. Let's talk about the president's agenda a little bit. He's obviously very open and very outspoken on the subject matter known as the Save America Act. Now, President Trump is pushing for voter IDs, also pushing for these individuals to stop targeting children through this transgender propaganda. And so right now, he's trying his best to push this through the Senate. Now, again, this is common sense, given the fact that, I mean, the vast majority, both sides of the aisle, agree when it comes to voters that, yes, you should require voter ID. But the president posted this Truth Social post yesterday, and it was very interesting. He's citing an interview that was done with Scott Pressler and how he was watching that interview. And then he goes on to pretty much saying that the Save America Act is an 88% issue with all voters. It must be done immediately. Then he goes on to say that he will not, as president, will not sign other bills until this is passed. And there won't be any watered down version of this bill as well. That's according to President Trump. Now, again, this is something that he really wants to be pushed through, and rightfully so. This should be the goal. But like I told you earlier in the show, they're trying to hold this over right now. The heads of Ken Paxton, the president right now, because they want Ken Paxton to leave that runoff race. They want to clear the way for John Cornyn because he's such a miserable human that he can't win the election unless it's actually handed to him. So that's what they're doing right now in the Senate. Now, Caroline Leavitt, who's obviously the press secretary, is talking in discussion, specifically though, she's in discussion about the Save America Act. Take a listen to clip 11.
There should be no pushback to any of the common sense proposals in the Save America Act. Let's talk about what is in this bill and what President Trump is pushing for here. Mandatory voter ID in the United States of America. 90% of our country, Democrats and Republicans, support this common sense solution to secure American elections. The only people in this country who don't support that are radical left Democrats on Capitol Hill. That's number one. Number two, requiring U.S. citizenship to register to vote, another common sense measure that absolutely must be done to secure our elections and the future of our country. And with these other two ideas, with no men and women sports and with ending transgender surgeries for minor children, these are common sense proposals and policies that, again, are backed by the vast majority of our country. If you look at the public polling from Americans on both sides of the aisle, most Americans don't want young children to be going through gender mutilation surgeries. Most Americans don't want men competing in women's sports. These are losing, these are winning issues for the American people. They are losing battles for politicians on Capitol Hill. And that's why all members of Congress, Republicans and Democrats, need to pass the Save America Act as soon as possible.
Yeah, it's one of the many things that we're all calling on. I mean, yeah, it's common sense, but you know, common sense isn't really common these days. And obviously a lot of Republicans are trying to use this for political capital. We've heard the president speak about that openly all the time, about why the Republicans in the Senate won't confirm his picks, his nominees. You've heard him say, when it comes to Matt Gaetz, Ed Martin, oh, it's going to cost me too much political capital. I can't. Well, now they need a favor, so they're doing their very best to continue to push for this. There's no logical reason as to why the Senate hasn't put this up for a vote yet. Instead, they're trying their very best to delay to see what else they can get from the president. What else they can get from the president. Now, when it comes to the lies being pushed about all of this, you could bet all your dollars that Chuck Schumer, you know, the hack from New York, that Chuck Schumer is going to do his very best to push back on all of this. And he is, in fact, doing that. Chuck Schumer is openly admitting that there's actually apparently millions of ineligible voters who will potentially be purged from the voter rolls if the Save America Act is passed. Take a listen to clip 12.
The Save Act will not pass because it is such a pernicious, nasty piece of legislation. The Save Act is Jim Crow 2.0. More than 20 million people would lose their right to vote. And you would need to register either a passport or your original birth certificate. How many people have that?
How many people have that? 20 million people. People was the key word. He didn't say Americans. He said people. Why? I don't know, Chuck. Where'd you get that number from? Are you talking about the, 15 million plus illegal invaders you've imported over the last couple of years under the Biden regime? Is that the number you threw in there too? Because it doesn't seem to make any sense as to why Chuck Schumer won't tell you where he got that breakdown from, or why Chuck Schumer won't say Americans. Instead, he says people. People. It's the key word that Democrats always throw out there because they don't want to tell you that they've allowed these illegal invaders into our country and they're looking to replace them. Well, they're looking to replace you with them. Low IQ, coming from countries that have not been able to develop their own nations. But we welcomed them in with open arms. In fact, we even flew them in to our country and gave them protection status. Why? Well, no one seems to really know. There's no logical stance for that. If you love this country, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't allow people who come from countries that can't develop their own country into your country and then say, make us a better place. That never happens. Never happens. So that's what's going on right now. Democrats are trying their very best to push and peddle that lie. It's a false lie, obviously. It's a lie. So of course it's false. But the many layers to all of this just really include the fact that Democrats want to do whatever they can to keep illegals on the voter rolls. And of course, logical people would support this. But logic doesn't seem to exist in Washington, D.C. Instead, it's a full-on takeover going on right now. Folks, again, we're going to be taking your calls. 877-789-2539 is the number to call into the show. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be getting the calls in about 10 minutes. 10 minutes. I wanted to play this next video for you. It's going to be clip 13. It's the body cam footage from one of the officers that were on the scene March 2025. It was a Doge raid that was going on over at the Institute of Peace. Now, it's kind of crazy when you hear the pushback, I guess I should say, of those administrators who were there that day who don't actually believe that Doge had the authority to be there, even though the President of the United States gave them that authority. Let's take a brief listen in on this clip. Take a listen.
How did this come to be? How did we happen to have people in the building?
He's the president of the Institute, so he has the right to be in the building.
Well, that's yet to be determined.
You don't recognize that he's the president?
Absolutely not. No.
Okay.
I told you.
Can
George
drive off?
Please.
Because we're still...
Ma'am, we're at the point. This is not going down the way that you keep on. We're going to talk about it if you want. The FBI is coming as well. We'll settle it. However we need to.
This is police state action, folks.
I want you to know that this is absolute jack.
This is not a political statement. This is
the law.
This is not the law.
You will follow the law, and we will follow the law.
Who are you?
And we'll be fine.
Who are you? You're not going to tell me who you are?
The board has named Mr. Jack for the acting president.
Go ahead.
We've talked about this in front of
you. Hey, did she's raising you.
That's not true. So, according to him, sir.
And how
it'll be decided.
You want to talk about the law and how the board was
Decided.
It hasn't been decided. It's going to be decided by a judge.
So
that's great. Well, is the judge here today?
No, he's not here. You're here with
papers. There's no muscle. This is
five gentlemen are here. This is a policeman here enforcing, escorting you into the building. How did you wind up in the building?
I've already told you people. The president of the university has the right to be in the building.
Yeah, that's right. That's different from how we got into the building.
We don't have to answer any of your questions.
You tell me?
Wait, hold on.
Yes.
Do you all work for USIP?
We are the outside counsel.
You do not work for USIP. So why are we even having this conversation?
We're their lawyers.
Well, I'm not sure for how long, but if you don't work at this agency or this institute, I think we have a problem. Right.
From our perspective, we also don't work for the agency. You certainly don't work for the agency. I understand that your position is institute. You don't work
this
for the
agency. This is going sideways very quickly.
This is going to run sideways very quickly. Yeah, well, it was for the rest of us. I mean, DOGE, although they say it's been implemented in all of the divisions across the country for our federal government, I don't see much in the way of movement since they decided to dissolve it. Now, this is the reason why it received so much pushback. Was there any legislation that, that ensured the American people that DOGE was going to live on forever, that the cuts that were being made were going to make sure that they stick? No, but it was widely popular amongst the American people. And given the fact that right now we're dealing with a midterm that's popping up, we probably should go back out there and revisit DOGE. One might say it's worth our attention. All right, I want to briefly listen over this clip. It's clip 14. It was Alex Jones explaining, as many of you guys know, the property that Jeffrey Epstein had in New Mexico, where there were reports that this was being operated as a way to harvest the stem cells of black women. Well, Alex broke it down in a recent podcast interview. Take a listen.
Everybody focuses on the codes. Okay, oh, we're delivering the beef jerky. We're walking it up. You know, it's so delicious. I want the jerky live, not
dead. The recipe. They ask about that. You know what I mean? There's so, I had an AI go through all the beef jerky references just to see it. And how many times does he ask for the new recipe? There's another recipe.
We brought it, the grape soda and the pizza. But there's hundreds and hundreds where we're delivering the sex slave to the Hyatt.
Right.
And then later, I sent in the young operative. She's been under our control since, you know, she's 14. I had to discipline her and torture her afterwards. But she, you know, I mean, it's in Zorro, and it's also cloning, buying, because here's the thing. Peter Nygaard's in prison for this. He owned his own island in the Caribbean. And there's famous videos of him, like 20 years ago, with these beautiful black supermodels. And because, you know, black genetics or anything black, whether it's a horse or a cow or a human, is dominant. White is recessive or a mutant. So with stem cells, black is better. So definitely Central African women. So you got Peter Nygaard, who was to Herbert Walker Bush and all them. He's sitting there at an auction trying to get black women to sell them their babies. First he says, I want your placenta, I want your period blood, but I'll pay you for a baby even more. So they get them pregnant, they use the artificial insemination. Then at 8 months, they harvest the baby, it's legal to kill it. And then the stem cells are like hundreds of times better. Okay, so this is real adrenochrome because it's your child. And then it's just like, you know, you can get a kidney from your dad or your mom. And then they suck the bone marrow out, the blood, everything. And then Nygaard is on TV sucking the blood of his children on air. So real vampires literally kill their own children.
Jesus Christ.
This is on television.
What do you mean Nygaard was sucking blood? What do you mean?
But the IVs. They were doing this at Zorro Ranch. I said this like 15 years ago because we got the tips and info. It's got whole underground bases. It's got the snorkels. Military experts have flown over. It's 10,000 acres. It's got huge facilities. It was never searched in New Mexico. And there's the women are, hundreds of these people are in these reports saying, I was picked up. I was told, you know, this and that when I was 18 or 17 or 16. 14, and then I wake up in a laboratory, and they said they'd taken my eggs or this, or they said that I'd been impregnated, and they would pay me this much money if I stayed and did this. And then I woke up, and they said, you lost your baby at 7 months pregnant.
Rosemary's baby.
And then we know what they're doing, because Nygaard didn't hide it. Nygaard would pay women to have babies that they took early, and then they would exsanguinate them, I mean, suck their juices, and then inject it into their veins.
That is the worst thing I've ever heard.
It doesn't sound real. You go to X and type in Peter Nygaard, real life vampire.
It does sound real. That sounds,
I don't even believe it. So, but, I mean, it's all real too, but my point is that the bottom of the rabbit hole is you're ultra rich, you're a sociopath, a psychopath. What are you into? So remember, the Queen Mother used to get, quote, young blood every week. So she looked like 100. But that was volunteers, 12-year-olds, you know, they get a couple $1,000, whatever, their parents agreed to it. It's not hurting them. This is next level where you implant a woman, she has a baby growing in her, you harvest it, and then it's more powerful.
I just grab the gun and blow my brain out. Kill myself.
Remember the island where they have the clones, and they don't know they're clones? I don't know.
What did you say, Josh?
I'll do it here.
Why would you say that? Why do you keep saying that? Did you hear? Why did you say that?
Is it Nygaard?
What the fuck? Why are you guys saying that?
What is he? How do you spell Nygaard? Hold on. I'll do it. Peter Nygaard, vampire.
It's with a T, Josh.
I can't spell anything, so I just... Peter Nygaard. Say vampire.
Real life vampire. First thing that pops up right there. Peter Nygaard, vampire. He literally looks like Dracula.
Well, this is him trying to buy the baby.
I bid $500 for you. Know, that's prepared to outbid him.
Let me get serious.
Whatever I bid, he's going to outbid me.
I'd buy the book. $60,000 for the eggs.
Yeah.
If you have abortion, that's very valuable.
Hold on, he asked for the baby here.
Placenta.
Look how sick she is.
If you're period blood. It's so rich with stem cells. You know, we regard it as waste, and it actually should be.
Yes, the abortion
it should be captured and recycled. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't go to waste. It's life for somebody, you know?
Him.
And it's life for
George Herman Bush.
The best eggs are 60 to 18 years old. Those are the best eggs.
Oh, 60 to 18 year olds.
The older your eggs get,
God.
You may not be our top candidate.
No, that's fine. I know it's my business anyway.
And now does he slap back at him? He says, I want your abortion.
I heard it.
But then when we know he does, now that's him once he got taken off the juice. He looks just like Count Dracula in that 90s remake with Keanu Reeves.
Dude, pull up Count Dracula with Keanu Reeves.
It's pretty disturbing. It's pretty disgusting. But folks, the facts don't lie in all of this. And I think it's important to remind our audience as to how evil these people are. All right, folks, we'll be taking your calls. 877-789-2539 is the number to call into the program, of course. Got a lot going on there. Alex Rosen will also be joining us in the third hour of the program in studio. It's a lot happening here on the American Journal. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, if you're going to go somewhere, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's a March mega sale. It's going on right this second, and it's only while supplies last.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at theultrastore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Can I salute you and thank you? Take action now.
You're all jumping on board with us today. We're kind of digging into a lot of the information that's coming in. We'll be taking your calls, too, in this portion of the program in about 4 minutes, 5 minutes, actually. So the number 877-789-2539 is the number to call in, 877-789-2539. We want to keep it relevant to the topics we've discussed thus far. So for those of you on the lines, let's keep it to the news topics we've discussed. I'll jump on that in a little bit. Also, I want to get into this topic a little bit because this is important to me as a carnivore. Kind of unfortunate, but Senate Democrats are the ones who are leading the way in regards to trying to bring down the beef prices. Senate Democrat leader Chuck Schumer and 12 other senators introduced the Family Grocery and Farmer Relief Act, aiming to break up the dominant meatpacking companies. Now, there's four key players in all of this. We've interviewed farmers, obviously, on this program, cattle ranchers specifically, and they've all told us that in order to get to all of this, you got to go after the big dogs. And so far, the DOJ, the Antitrust Division, which apparently purged out one of the most important people, I believe, Gail Slater, recently, is the agency that is supposed to be looking into all of this. And we talked about the Brazilian company that has been dominating the industry. By the way, Trump tossed out a lot of the tariffs that would have actually helped farmers out against the Brazilian companies that are importing their products for cheaper prices. But I mean, that's just one of the many issues we have here. The bill would prohibit major meat packers from controlling more than one type of meat that includes beef, pork, and poultry. It also would somehow, I don't know the specific details behind this one, but impose, I guess, some type of caps on the beef markets at a regional and national level. Again, I don't know specifically how they look to do that. I don't really like the government controlling these things, so I'm guessing they're going to have to some way figure out how can the government step in on this. I just think you have to just completely toss out foreign entities from being able to come in and push their products in our market. Because remember, folks, American farmers have a much stricter level of, I guess, a stricter level of standards. And so when it comes to these things, it's like you're bringing in other countries who don't have to abide by those standards, and you're allowing them to. By the way, if they butcher their meat here in the United States, but it's been imported from places like Brazil, they do sometimes slap on that made in America or American product stamp onto your packet. So it's really hard to even track it. Again, I know a lot of our audience like buy local, but it's really difficult for most Americans to purchase local. And a lot of these ranchers too, by the way, I love going to my farmer's market, but man, oh man, do they stiff you with the bill. I mean, I could get it a significantly cheaper, and I get it, right? Because you're going to say, oh, well, Brianna, of course, they're importing it from other countries. But life has become too expensive. So I'm not going to beat up on people who might turn to the supermarket butcher to purchase their products. Again, keep in mind, there's about four firms that control over 85% of the beef industry, 67% of the pork industry, and 60% of poultry. And when you talk to these local ranchers, they tell you that's the key problem in all of this. But again, how do you break all of this down? Well, I really don't know. I really don't know. So we'll keep our eye on it. Also, by the way, it looks like the Live Nation has reached a settlement agreement in regards to their antitrust division fight they had ongoing. Now, this is the interesting part in all of this, because obviously Gail Slater was pushed out of the agency. I'm trying to find the exact agreement details. Let me find it on my phone. Okay, so even though this agreement has been settled upon, Live Nation will still control 86% of ticketing. So they'll just be able to charge you whatever they want. I mean, it's not really what the antitrust division was ultimately out to do. But again, Gail Slater was pushed out for all of this. So keep that in the back of your mind. All right, folks, checking your calls in just a moment. You're on hold. Stay put. We'll be diving into those calls in a second. Meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have the March Mega Sale going on right now. 30 to 40% off some of your favorite supplements over at the shop. Thealexjonesstore.com right now is where you should be heading.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robinson was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on with us. We're going to be, you know, diving into some calls in a second. So if you're on hold, stay put. We're going to be diving into those that are relevant to the discussions we've talked about to make sure we get through everyone. That's a key point in all of this. All right, Tim in California is first up on the list. Tim, welcome back.
Morning, Brianna. Thank you for taking my call.
Always a pleasure.
And I don't disagree with anything you've said, so I'm not trying to be combative or fight with you in any way, but I just want to give you a kind of like another angle here that I want to just to take a peek at here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back to October 22nd of 1962. And this is when President JFK had to address the nation. And it goes on too lengthy for us to cover in radio, but just a couple of sentences here. Here towards the end of his speech, he says, "My fellow citizens, let no one doubt that this is a difficult and dangerous effort on which we have set out. No one can see precisely what course it will take or what costs or casualties will be incurred. Many months of sacrifice and self-discipline lie ahead, months in which our patience and our will be tested, months in which many threats and denunciations will keep us aware of our dangers. But the greatest danger of all would be to do nothing." And I'm afraid, you know, even Neil Peart from Rush said, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. This reminds me of 5 years ago, and I'm not a pleader for Beirut, Lebanon. They're no friends of mine. But these guys, I mean, this is a capital city. It's a port city. And 6 years previous to that, they captured a ship, I think it was a Russian ship, and it had like 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate. And they didn't have $100,000 to pay the fees. You can't even make this up. They didn't have $100,000 to pay the fees. So they took and seized the ship. They took the load and put it in a warehouse. And that thing sat there year after year after year after year with, I guess everyone just thought the government would take care of it or somehow it'd just be okay. But 6 years later, one day there was a fire in the warehouse next to it and kaboom. I mean, this thing went off in such a way it made like a 4-point-something earthquake. It was felt 150 miles away. It completely destroyed the port city. You know, just the point is, this kind of stuff could happen anywhere in the world, including here in America. But just waiting, waiting, waiting. We already waited 47 years. These guys are never going to be nice. They've never been on their heels this much. And, yeah, we might have kicked a hornet's nest. We might wish we'd never done this. But I'd rather have guys be in the warehouse, moving that stuff out of the warehouse, than to just wait year after year after year waiting for something bad to happen. I'm sorry. That's just a rant. You know, I go on these rants sometimes. I apologize, Brianna.
No.
But I want to hear your, you know.
No, we appreciate the rants. Listen, I mean, I've never heard that quote before, so it was quite fascinating to listen to, Tim. And yeah, no, I think it's something I thought was interesting. So we appreciate you, Tim, in California. Thank you for calling. We are grateful for that. All right, let's work our way down the line. Savage Dog in Georgia is also on deck. Savage Dog, welcome back.
Hey, Brianna, I hope you had a great weekend. I'm going to have to go ahead, suck it up, get on X, and look at your cookie show, see if you did Chick Farm right.
I know, I know. I was a little burnt, but I kind of like a little crisp.
Burn and crisp is two different things.
All right, I got a little distracted and walked away for a couple of minutes.
Oh, roger that. Yeah, I got you. I hear you. Tim in California, man, you are spot freaking on.
Yeah.
Sacrifices must be made to make evil pay. That's actually not a great way to put it, but that's just the first thing that came to my mind. But yeah, Tim, California, right on, brother. You are spot on. And I'll get to that. I got four things. Three of them are the little side veggies, and then I'm going to get to my roast beef. Mr. Chucky, I've got two birth certificates. I don't know what the big deal is about getting them. Lost one, got another one, found it, the first one. Christy Nome gone, about freaking time. And Mark Wayne Mullen, who challenged to stomp somebody's ass right there on the Senate floor, that's the kind of energy we need in Homeland Security. And the last thing is, what podcast was Alex Jones on talking about a vampire, whatever hell his name was?
I'm going to get you the name in a second. I'm asking. You know, Dan's one of the best. He's frantically looking for you right now, Savage Dog. We'll get you an answer in a second, though. He's looking away. He'll find it for you. We'll get back to you.
This is my deal. I listen to many, many, many different sources. So far as I could tell, Alex Jones is the only one that has just been throwing black pills right at my face for the last 2 weeks. I listen to the Salty Cracker, Salty Army, raw. Tim Pool, who has many different guests with many different opinions.
Yeah.
And Stephen Crowder, right? Those are my big three. And Benny Johnson. And I cannot find anyone anywhere else who has the same level of, oh my God, it's World War III, we're all going to die. You know, they're all, so far as I personally can see, because I get information from everywhere and kind of coalesce it.
Mm-hmm.
It looks good. This whole Iran thing looks good. There's not much downside. Yeah, we've lost some service members. But look at the order of operation. We took down Venezuela. China don't get that oil. We're taking down Iran. China don't get that oil. We're neutering China, which was our biggest threat. Well, arguably Islam. But, you know, you can't really neuter that one. But I just don't see a downside, but Alex Jones is nothing but downside. I haven't heard him say one good thing about it. Now, I want to also be clear, it's kind of a side issue, but it ties in. I'm not a trumpet or whatever the hell the left calls sycophants. I'm not in the Trump cult. I've been paying attention to him. I listen to watch other YouTube channels, you know, who, one of them, that looks at Trump specifically, and like Alex, I was watching before this show, Sunday's broadcast, where Alex was talking about, you know, the Antichrist and everything. There's a lot of sketchy stuff about Trump, especially the fact that his penthouse apartment in Trump Tower, New York, is full of Apollo imagery. Apollo is Apollyon in Revelation, the destroyer. And that skews me out, you know. Okay, well, we got the Butler thing. Was that the hand of God, or was that maybe they used Maybe they used one of those time-space weapons to guide that bullet into his ear. That's deep, deep, deep dive. Don't look too far into that. That's just like only if you smoke enough weed.
Yeah.
but you know what I mean? So I'm not like a rah-rah for Trump. But I'd love to hear some good news. And maybe I'm just trying to take some white pills against this, but from everywhere else I see, it all looks good. This doesn't look bad. I don't really have a question. I just wanted to express my confusion, I guess, because I've got Alex on one hand, whom I've trusted for a long time. And then I've got a lot of other people who make a lot of sense. And I'm just trying to balance the equation here is all I'm saying. And if any callers can, you know, help out after and maybe tell me something I don't know, which that'll be hard to do because I'm on a military disability. I don't do nothing but sit here and listen to Brianna. Then, this is all I do.
Yeah.
If I was prettier, I might have my own podcast, but,
it's a tough world. It's a tough world. Well, I mean, listen, you could always get a show like The View. I mean, they always, you know, they always manage over there, but no, Savage Dog. And Duncan Trussley, I think is what he's just said in my ear. Dan, there you go. Trussell. Maybe that's how you say it. We got it up on the screen right now. That is the show that Alex was on. By the way, Savage Dog. Yeah, I mean, I think Alex has been actually kind of fair. See, this is the thing. Some people are really mad at Alex because he didn't jump off the cliff with everyone else when they were upset and they were fired up with certain issues. I know when it comes to the Iran coverage too, a lot of people didn't, like his take on it. I think he's been fair. There's nothing I don't disagree with anything that he's done this far and he's kind of stated it this far. You know, I was on Tim Pool's show. This was months ago and Tim was making comments, about the left and I didn't want to be a total black pill. So I was like, they're not all bad, Tim. And Tim's like, yeah, they all are. And I ended up messaging him like months later, like, okay, you were kind of right. They're all a bunch of commies. But when it comes to like the Venezuela take too, I don't know what the goal of Venezuela truly is besides obviously trying to get, you know, the Chinese out of our sphere, but, Dulce, I guess would be, the pronunciation of Rodriguez, the woman who's now running and operating Venezuela. The reason why I'm not a fan of any of this is because this is a woman who was previously on the DEA watch list. They had her eye on her because they also believe that she was connected to a lot of the drugs that were being pushed into the United States as well. So now she's taken over and the president's working with her and allowing her to keep her power. But again, if Venezuela steals their own elections, then this woman shouldn't be looked as a legitimate leader. So that's where my disgruntledness comes from all of that. Savage Dog, though, we'll start working our way down the lines and see if anyone wants to dispute you or maybe answer back to you as we work our way down the list. So thank you. We appreciate your calling. And, of course, Sean in California is next on the list. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. Am I coming in loud and clear for you?
I can hear you, Sean. Welcome back.
Excellent. Hey, something for Savage Dog. If he wants a good podcast and it's just starting out and it's got younger minds with fresher takes, look at the Gray Area Talks on YouTube. That's Rex Jones and his pal Tim. And they had Harrison Smith on last night. It was a very good episode. I'm an hour plus into it, and I'm going to resume it when I get off work when I'm done listening to my InfoWars coverage. And it shows you where the younger mindset are. They're not necessarily black-pilled, but they realize we're being propagandized. And sometimes in this information war, we need more than propaganda. We need hard facts. And what you and the gentleman earlier talked about with the Secret Service detail that I want to get into. Mm-hmm. So we know the name of the guy in charge of passing what we would call in the security world to be on the lookout or a pass down order or a threat assessment, whatever term you want to use. Somebody held up information that could have saved the life of the firefighter that day. So let's not worry about the woo-woo with, you know, bullets barely missing Trump. Let's look at the facts we can put into a courtroom. Someone failed either through criminal negligence or nonfeasance. And by the way, I'm not giving legal advice. I'm just setting up a nexus for you guys out there. That party that lost their husband, their father, that brave fireman who covered his daughters up, he was slain because somebody is accountable for a bad decision. And that person needs to be held to account. That family is a party to that. The people who are witnesses and almost victims to that shooting in Butler were parties to that fact. So, Brianna, if your guest is accurate with that information, that flow of information, and he neglected to pass it on, that guy needs to be taken to the cleaners and thrown under the bus or thrown under jail. Because here's a secret, folks. The Secret Service does not work for the president. They work for the Treasury. They are not the president's friend. That's one thing this POTUS makes a mistake of, is think of the Pentagon, that the rhinos, that all these people are his friends in D.C. He's a lone man getting bad information from a bad circle of people who are not his friends. We, the people, have to get the information to him, whether it's through Roger Stone or you guys at InfoWars, or whether it's through us putting an actual document into his hands. It has to be done. Break that bubble, get him good information, he'll course correct. What do you got to say, Brianna?
Yeah, I mean, Sean, no surprise there. Yeah, I know Ken Silva does great work, and so I haven't seen anything that Ken's ever reported that has been wrong. So he's very heavily backed up with government documents before he says anything. So there's that for you. But Sean, no, I think you're right. It's pretty frustrating in regards to the lack of transparency in all of this. Again, they were so pushy about this and saying that they were, in fact, reporting and being as transparent as possible when it came to Thomas Crooks and the information that was put out there. So they were all full of it, Sean. No surprise there. Folks, I want to pivot for a hot second right now. And Sean, thank you for calling to the show. I appreciate it when you do, of course, to a soundbite that we have. Jesse Jackson Jr., that's the son of Jesse Jackson. He was actually pretty fired up and angry because during the memorial service for Jesse Jackson, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and Joe Biden spoke, but they took the opportunity to take a little political gain in all of this. And it's something that actually Jesse's family was not very happy with. Let's listen in.
I listened for several hours of three United States presidents who do not know Jesse Jackson. He maintained a tense relationship with the political order, not because the presidents were white or black, but the demands of our message, yes, Jesse, the demands of speaking for the least of these, those who were disinherited, the damned, the dispossessed, the disrespected, yes, demanded not Democratic or Republican solutions, but demanded a consistent, prophetic voice that at no point in time ever sold us out as a people.
Yeah. So I think that's really important for him to highlight the fact that these three presidents decided to take the opportunity to throw little daggers out there. It's not appropriate, of course, but it's what you could expect from these scumbags. All right, let's jump back into some calls. Katie in Ohio, welcome back.
Hi. Anna Morello, it's an honor to speak with you. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Katie, thank you for calling.
You are a treasure to InfoWars, and are all the supplements. When you went to calls, I was literally scooping my optimal human into my mixer. I just took all my supplements. They really are amazing. Everybody needs to support this broadcast.
Katie, thank you.
You can't find information right now. All of the people that I follow on X are all shadow banned. I have to look up everyone individually. I don't know if other people are having this problem, but I'm really having trouble just like seeing the people that I follow. One of the things I was going to mention to the previous caller about what's going on specifically with Iran, Matt Tardio does some really good breakdowns, and you guys had him on as a guest host at one point, and Brandon Reichart. I don't know if I'm saying that, Weichert. He's really good with what's going on with Iran specifically in the Middle East.
Yeah.
My main point today is this battle of good versus evil that we're facing in our country, and that Trump is very much bubble wrapped. And this is kind of like a, what should we do? We got to get information to Trump, like the previous caller said. If you look at just what we know with things like MKUltra, Savannah syndrome, frequency control through the towers, this all sounds so nuts, but we know these things with Savannah syndrome and what they can do to someone through mind control, internet throttling, like I said, with what you see on your phone. And then this comes to what happened to Tucker Carlson. Jones has talked about it a few times. When Tucker had like an attack, that's like a demonic attack. And we know there are people like Maria Abramovich and the things that they're doing, this battle of good versus evil. There is something like taking over Trump's awareness with all of his handlers. Also, we know Wiles, Lubnick, Kushner, Ratcliffe, all these people around him that are not his friends, and the intelligence agencies, they could totally cater his internet experience. They could totally cater everything that's going on around him to keep him totally bubble wrapped. We know, as a great example, he did not know why the public did not approve of Project Warp Speed until like way late in the game. Mm-hmm. That country music star was the one that had to tell him. You remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
And so I really want to, like, what can we do? I feel like Jones needs to take Flynn and Stone and go to Trump and really tell him. I know Jones doesn't want to. I heard his call the other day. I think it was Saturday's call, where he wants to stay away from it. But I think if he has any ability to get some of the message of what's really going on to Trump, he might be the only way to really tell Trump what's going on, or give him some way to let him know that the people are not supporting what he's doing. Like, nobody likes this in any way.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he has to secure the hemispheres and this, that, and the other, but our country needs him. We need to be America first. And I would love to see Jones run for president with Tucker, or Thomas Massey. And speaking for Ohio, everybody needs to vote for Casey Putsch May 5th. Ohio needs Casey Putsch. So look into that. But Trump is not a Christian fully, and so I think he's a lot more vulnerable to these evil attacks that's going on. We know he's kind of sold himself out to all of the people who are boasting his ego. I think it's through his ego and his pride. They just stroke that, and then like some kind of mind control. Like, who knows? There was theories that Biden was a robot. I mean, look what they did to the past presidents. Like, who knows, like, how much mind control they can do on somebody. Like, we know enough to know that he could be completely controlled.
Yeah. Well, to piggyback to Katie, you know, I was alluding to it earlier in the show to watch out for the polls. You know, there's a couple of pollsters that I trust authentically because I think that they are great. But from my sources internally, there's going to be a lot of pollsters that are going to be tilting their polls to be more favorable towards Trump, to be more desirable because they're getting access to the president. And so they want these polls put in front of the president. So, yeah, we're it's going to get worse from what you're saying. And, you know, I don't think they'd ever let Katie, I don't think they'd ever let Alex into a room with President Trump. I don't think they'd ever let Roger Stone in a room with President Trump. Well, I guess they might actually, let me hold back on that. But I would say General Flynn, is somebody else who's probably being stonewalled out too, just because they don't want the truth getting to the president. So that's where I think. Now, again, those are just my guesses. I don't have any fact base behind any of that, but I would say that they probably, since they're so, historically known for stonewalling a lot of people who would be honest with the president, I don't think they'd let any of those people anywhere near him right now. I think they're creating this kind of echo chamber of those who are allowed to be around him, who will back what they want. And so I don't know. We try to crack into it all the time, obviously, by posting on X and other platforms and hope it gets to the president. But he's pretty sheltered. He's pretty sheltered. Folks, if you called in, thank you for calling on the lines. We appreciate you doing that. We're all out of time, though, for right now. We'll be taking calls later this week, though, so I hope you guys all call back. In the meantime, though, Alex Rosen joining me on set in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Captain, you're about to embark on a great adventure. President Truman has chosen you and your crew to lead a highly classified mission.
Where do we pick up our escort?
There will be no escort. All I can tell you is that this cargo can end the war. You can save millions of lives.
You are my crew, and our survival depends on all of you functioning as one unit.
Yes, sir!
A short time ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction.
Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds.
Captain! There's something in the water!
It's a Japanese bomb!
All hands, your battle stations, brace for impact.
Yo-y. Yo-y.
Hasha!
Of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at theoxygenstore.com.
Waking up America one narrative at a time. Brianna Morello is live on the American Journal right now on band.video and x.com.
American Journal. It's a guest you've all been waiting for at home. Joining me now, Alex Rosen's here from Predator Poachers, and we've got a lot of predators that have been poached thanks to his great work. As many of you guys know, he goes out there and he confronts a lot of these sick bastards, and you hold them accountable. So it's always an honor to have you in studio.
Thanks for having me.
Honor and honor. All right, I want to get to the first guest. Well, I guess the first soundbite, I should say. You're going out there, and we've had you on a lot, but you go out there and you catch the worst of the worst who are trying to go out there and rape children. And you found just that. This is an alleged pedo who apparently was caught because he was trading child porn in clip 15. Now, he's an active duty service member who serves right now in our Navy. Let's take a listen.
None under arrest. You see the tank at this time.
All right, what's up, guys? This is Peyton Leckel. He was an online friend of somebody we put away in Connecticut for having images he shouldn't have, who was on federal bond. He was sending stuff to him.
Yeah, you guys think it was on a post-it stab?
And this guy's active duty military.
413, show me one.
Active duty military came to me.
Is this your phone?
at your phone?
Came to me. A boy should have. I'll just leave that right there.
Okay, okay. Was he going to spread this all over him?
And,
and yeah, just very, very cool.
A charger?
Yeah. This guy lives on the military base in Norfolk. We're supposed to meet. One boy shouldn't have, and even a smaller boy shouldn't have, has got many, many pics sent to him that he should not have gotten, even got on some video calls with actual, you know.
You know, going to nothing else on you?
With actual males that, and, right. done, and pay, hey, paid them for stuff. So,
he's
taking the call
right now.
He's taking the call,
yeah. He needs to go federal.
Yeah, y'all can report to
that. Yes, sir. Full video on locals. DM me for link.
All right, folks, this is Peyton Leckelt is the subject behind all of this. And, of course, these are allegations he's currently facing. So, Alex, I kind of want you to detail this for us because the cake thing's weird, but it's not the first time they've done this to you.
No, no. I really wanted to preserve that evidence in my stomach, but I guess the cops took the evidence of him wanting to rub cake all over a 13-year-old boy. But the thing with Peyton, it starts a little bit before we actually catch him. So we caught a guy in Connecticut February 15th named Sean Sayer, a resident of Naugatuck, now resident in some federal corrections facility. But Sean was out on federal bond, so the feds charged him with tons of crimes against children. He was facing life plus 360 years, and he was sitting with a 15-year plea deal that was on the table that he was probably about to take. But while he was out on bond, he was messaging our underage decoy account and possessing and trading child pornography. So one of his bond conditions was that he is not allowed to access the internet at all. So on top of him just like accessing the internet in the first place, which we confirmed, I did a video call with him. Like, I got him on camera. I was pretending to be a little kid and I saw him on camera. And yeah, then we went to his home and he admits to possessing child pornography and to trading it around. And 2 days later, the FBI takes him back into custody, and I'm sure that plea deal is off the table now. But while interviewing him, he gave up an account name that was trading child pornography with him, and he said it was a 16-year-old named Peyton. Now, we did some digging into Peyton. We found out he's actually 21 and in the Navy, and he hit up our same account that we caught Sean on, and then literally 2 weeks later, Peyton meets up at a Food Line in Virginia Beach, and he admits to trading child pornography and paying 13-year-old boys to masturbate on video call for him, like actual 13-year-old kids. He would solicit them online, pay them money, do all this stuff, and right now he's facing two felony charges, and I think he'll face more when his phone's officially dumped.
Yeah, that's like horrifying, given the fact that he's also a member of our military, too, and, you know, you cited that with the first catch that you had, that you were actually the decoy in that one. I mean, how does Alex Rosen pretend to be an underage child?
Well, you know, I'm already wearing like a freaking Walmart shirt and, you know, all that. So I play it pretty well, I think. But on the video call, I did not show my face. I was just like, hey, can I see your glasses? I take them off. And I'm the whole time I'm like filming with my phone, just him on the internet. So the cops had total proof he was on the internet. And he got taken back in for that and other reasons.
It's so sick, Alex, but it's expected. I don't understand why a prosecutor even cut a deal with someone like this, especially when they have hard evidence.
Well, you know, the feds are known for just throwing a bunch. I mean, facing life plus 360 years is, they could do whatever they want with him.
Yeah.
But a 15-year plea deal is so ridiculous to throw at him. And, you know, if I was Sean, I'd be so lucky and so grateful to have that offer to me, especially facing literally the end of my days in prison. But, you know, it's not happening anymore because you can't violate your bond and still have that plea deal.
Yeah, and that's a big one. And folks at home right now, if you don't do so already, I'd highly recommend you give Alex a follow right now on X, I Fight for Kids. That's where you guys could go to right now. Also support his work as well. Again, this is someone who does this based on donations. So when you donate to his efforts, when you subscribe to his platforms, you guys are helping keep up this mission. You can find him also at predatorpoachers.com as well. Let's keep diving into this. Juan Rios is another individual, Clip 16, who you recently had contact with. And it looks like now he's been sentenced to 40 years in prison. Let's do a little throwback here and play that clip 16.
So, yeah, just hide your face. It's fine. So what happened when Brianna was 12 and you were 23?
She came over to me and initiated contact.
What did she do to you?
She started writing me.
Uh-huh, then what?
And she got off and then started giving me a...
Okay. How long did it take you to finish?
I didn't.
How long was she doing it for?
Not long, probably like 2-3 minutes.
Okay. And she's over in Laredo?
Yes.
And that's where it happened? Okay.
All right, obviously, he's not very happy, but he's openly talking to you on camera about what he did. Now he's been sentenced to officially 40 years in prison.
Yeah, so that's one of our longer sentences that we've had. Kaufman County, Texas is an awesome place to catch pedos. They do not take this lightly at all. So the DA there, I forgot her name, but she does a very good job, and she serves Texas very well. So if she ever sees this clip, God bless you, ma'am. So we have 6 catches in Kaufman County. Juan was one of them. He met who he thought was a mom and a daughter for sex. And while he was in the Sting House, he admitted to possessing tons of child pornography and to, of course, molesting his cousins. And he was already a sex offender, but he was not a sex offender for molesting his cousins. He was a sex offender for child pornography. So he got charged with online solicitation of a minor, which is going after her fake accounts, and then possessing child pornography. Unfortunately, since that molestation happened in Laredo, Webb County, which is where Laredo has never followed up on it or did anything about it. But that being said, Kaufman County threw the absolute book at him, gave him 40 years, and he was just charged on the child porn in our chats. So, yeah, he's going to face he is going to be in prison for a long time, and I hope he dies in there.
Yeah, well, that's the thing too, right? Because sadly, there's a lot of prosecutors, and this is the thing I can't understand. We have a lot of lawmakers who go out there and say, oh, we need more legislation. We need more legislation. But the reality of it is if you don't have a prosecutor that's willing to prosecute these crimes, legislation doesn't mean a damn thing. And you're dealing with that all the time.
Right. And it's like, I think, of course the laws can always be harsher. They can always be stricter. But the laws on the books in Texas are pretty good for this stuff. Yeah. I mean, just for going after our fake 11-year-old, they can get up to 20 years in prison for it. And from what I think there's only one jurisdiction in Texas, Upshur County, which actually gave the full 20 years for it. And other jurisdictions cut these plea deals with him. Not all plea deals are terrible, but see, sometimes they get probation for a 20-year sentence crime. And then for child pornography, what he did was a felony one because he had a prior conviction for it. He could have gotten up to 99 years for it. And, you know, 40 years, and you know, it's a good plea deal. I mean, it's still a good amount of time. But he could have gotten 99 years if they really wanted to try to give it to him.
Yeah, well, I mean, these type of people, we can't rehabilitate them. We can't throw them back on the streets. That's the part that really frustrates me all the time. You know, I've covered the story about how Joe Biden would import sex offenders in other countries and brought them in under these last 4 years when he was occupying the White House. And it just goes to show how there's a lot of people out there who seem to think that these people could be saved. I don't. I think they're monsters and they need to be put down. I wouldn't even call them animals. Animals I like.
Right, right. Yeah, there is no rehabilitation for them. I mean, this past trip alone, we've caught a couple sex offenders, one of them named Charles Landa in Two Rivers, Wisconsin. And he was on paper for continuous sexual abuse of a child, which ended up being his step-granddaughter. Mm. And guess what? He's still married to the grandma of that granddaughter. And on top of that, the grandma has cancer right now. He's supposed to be taking care of her. And instead, he got arrested for messaging our decoy account. So he abuses his lady's granddaughter and then cheats on her when she has cancer with who he thinks is an underage kid. I mean, she's a scumbag too for staying with him, but they never change. And he knew who I was too and still went to jail.
Isn't that something? Oh, I want to get your takeaway on a lot of the elections that were had just the other day. You know, obviously last week we did have primaries here in Texas, and you and I were on team Aaron Wright's for AG, and unfortunately it didn't work out well for us. Now Chip Roy and there's another candidate who have now been elevated to the runoff race. Sadly, though, Aaron, who's someone who's very pro going after these pedos and targeting them, who I actually connected you to him to go on one of your catches, is a great person. So where do we go from here in the state of Texas?
Well, Aaron Wright was the only AG candidate to actually help pedos get arrested. Mm-hmm. I hope Chip Roy and Mays Middleton, whoever wins, I hope they do a good job, but I'm not too enthusiastic about either of them. Like, Aaron Wright was the first candidate in forever that I was actually enthusiastic about, but yeah, I mean, I hope these just prosecutors keep their foot on the gas, and this Senate election coming up between Cornyn and Paxton, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to vote if Cornyn wins.
That's my thing. So that's the big one here, right? Because, and we could talk about this because I did a whole reel of the clips of John Cornyn, who's been an absolute awful human being, clearly working for the deep state. And it's not an over-exaggeration. I mean, any topic that's been slightly controversial, he's been on the opposition for any of the MAGA or even just President Trump, just going after President Trump on things that should be easy wins, like James Comey being a scumbag. He seems to side with James Comey and tell James Comey during open testimony that he likes him. He's also defended FISA and said during Pam Bondi's congressional hearing, her confirmation hearing, oh, well, FISA's never been used on an American citizen. That's misinformation, even though it was used to target President Trump and his administration as well with the fake Russian collusion hoax. Right. So although you could disagree with President Trump, the reality of it is this guy is toxic. He's horrible. But this is when it gets like bad-ish crazy. When you sit here and you're comparing both these candidates and you see President Trump go out there and say that whoever he endorses, the other person's going to drop out. Then you see the Save America Act being withheld from a vote in the Senate. For me, it's like, okay, it's clear as day what the Senate's trying to do, because these rhinos spent over $7 million on John Cornyn's campaign just to get him through the primary. Obviously, that didn't work. A little under 60% of Texans voted against John Cornyn by supporting the two other candidates. So when we're sitting here looking at this, I can't understand why President Trump would even kind of entertain the idea of endorsing Cornyn. I think that he's excited to endorse Ken Paxton, but it doesn't look that way.
Well, you know, any other politician that's been in politics for 10 years, we would call a swamp creature, we would call the deep state.
Yeah.
And Trump's been in politics for 10 years, and he's run for president so many times, he's donated to both parties so many times. Trump is the deep state. You know, there shouldn't be... helping Save America, I guess in this case, literally the Save America Act, doing the right thing shouldn't be conditional. Like, you know, if I only would show up to testify against a pedophile if the state pays me $1,000 to show up to court, everybody would know what my motivations are, and it's not pure motivation. So John Cornyn and the Senate withholding voter ID and just basic stuff like that, it's to show you what their motivation is, because if they need conditions to do the right thing, if they need conditions to help this country out, if they need conditions to move this place in the right direction, then all of them should be voted out. All of them should be taken out of office, because none of it's sincere what they're saying. And it sucks that hundreds of thousands of people are going to still think otherwise.
What's your takeaway of Ken Paxton? Because Ken Paxton, in my belief, has done the best job out of all the AGs across the country.
Yeah, no, I think he's done a tremendous job. I think he actually cares. And, you know, even though not every single thing gets done that somebody tries to do, I think he is sincere about wanting to get the right thing done. And I think putting in an honest effort is something that not many people in office do. And I think he is one of those people that does.
Yeah, and here's my point where, like, to me, it's a little crazy, because I don't understand how the guy who put everything on the line to defend their 2020 elections, to help President Trump, because he knew that the mail-in ballots that were being pushed by Democrats for the fake COVID pandemic, that was a man-made virus that was pushed out there. He did his very best to push back on that, to file lawsuits to go after the states that illegally went out and mass shipped out these mail-in ballots, sued a bunch of states. They retaliated against him, went after him, tried getting him impeached, tried getting him disbarred. They've done everything to this man. And so for me, sitting here watching, I'm like, how can, he hasn't done it yet, so I can't say he's not loyal. But it looks like to me, based on his response to even Ken Paxton saying, I'm not going to drop out even if the president says I'm going to endorse Cornyn. How does someone just completely dismiss Ken Paxton's loyalty to the movement that they claim was started? And again, I know it's disputed now. A lot of people don't believe MAGA's even real at this point. How do we sit there and say, okay, well, MAGA's real, and we abandon the guy who's been out there trying to fight for this guy?
Well, I mean, Trump has a history of endorsing just swamp creatures. I mean, he endorses Lindsey Graham. He endorses, has not endorsed Ken Paxton. I mean, I think him not endorsing Ken Paxton is endorsing John Cornyn, because if he wanted to endorse the right person, he would just do it. I mean, I think Trump's action is his inaction on this. And it really sucks, because it just goes to show you that there's really no winning with Trump if you are sincere about wanting to get this, if you're sincere about wanting to get this thing changed. Like, it feels like if Trump doesn't endorse the person, then I should support them at this point, because he just has a horrible track record.
Yeah, no, it's pretty bad. It's pretty, pretty bad. Also in Texas too, you know, Tony Gonzalez just recently said he's not going to run for re-election. But like, this is the problem with a lot of this. He was initially said no, he didn't have an affair with a staffer. Then he had to correct himself, because it was very obvious that these text messages which came out from her husband, the staffer who sadly took her own life over a lot of this, the text messages were real. He wouldn't confirm or deny whether they were real. He just said, oh, this is political. And now Tony's stepping away from all of this. I mean, we have this problem, Alex, with like scumbag politicians keeping their positions. Even President Trump endorsed him, even though these accusations were out there backing him. He hasn't really talked much on this front. But what's your takeaway from all of this?
Well, Tony Gonzalez had the most fire campaign of all time, and it's, he still got second place. That's the way I look at it. But, I'm glad he's gone because, you know, all these politicians, you know, cheat and stuff. And I think it's definitely a mark against them. Like, you know, I mean, Ken Paxton, same thing. I still think Ken Paxton cheating on his wife. I still factor that into still supporting him over John Cornyn just because John Cornyn is so terrible. But I certainly think it carries weight because if these people cheat on their own spouse, and they don't even care about the sanctity of marriage. They don't even care about their covenant with God. How many of that religious, but I know it's a covenant with God. Then how do they care about us numbers on paper to them? They're just not going to care as much. And I think Tony Gonzalez is just that. I mean, he's not hard on the border. He's not hard. He just wanted a total gun ban after Uvalde. And I'm glad he's out for many reasons.
Yeah, many reasons. I mean, the content is endless. I'm randomly just finding all these videos and clips and posting them online. I'm just like, there's just so many things here to hit Cornyn on, and it's a bit out of control. But let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about Iran, because the president says that it's going to be, you know, we're all going to temporarily be going through an increased cost when it comes to oil and gasoline. Obviously, we're watching as the barrels of oil are skyrocketing. I think this morning, I don't know what it's around now. It was like 110 a barrel, so it's very, very pricey right now. President Trump and members of the White House say that this is going to be temporarily, and it's going to it's the cost we must pay to, I guess, liberate Iran. I don't understand it. Short term, they keep saying short term pain, but it's short term oil prices right now is how they're trying to allude to this. I mean, this was their big victory, was the economy, and now, you know, they decided to go after Iran again. We have no reason. They haven't outlined a reason as to why they attacked them. They keep saying the same thing we heard in the Bush years, that there was a threat, that they had to squash the threat. But we haven't seen anything that alludes to just that. What's your takeaway from all of this? Because midterms are right around the corner.
Well, I've been meaning to go to California to catch some pedos for the longest time, but I've been getting hit with court dates. But I felt like I woke up in California this morning when I had to fill my tank up for gas, because that shit was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I have not seen gas over $3 a gallon since, like,
over a year.
I don't know. When Biden was in office, it was like the fours, and even in Houston. But, I think it's very dumb to do before midterms, which I don't really care about that too much. Like, if he was doing just the right thing, like deporting a bunch of illegals before midterms or just pissing a lot of people off, but still doing the right thing for the country, I'd be like, that's fine. But he's just combusting the whole thing without even really gaining anything. Like, I mean, Iran hasn't taken a single dollar from me. Iran hasn't killed anybody that I know. Iran has never killed a person on American soil. So it's like, what are we doing here?
That's the problem. So, like, I understand the Islamic terror threats. Obviously, the Biden regime years, we've imported a bunch of people that we don't know where they came from. And so I've always understood that. And I keep asking, like, what was the sense of urgency to do this now? Because DHS is dealing with a partial shutdown. I just got an email, too. I think their TSA employees aren't getting paid. This is the third time in the last six months that this has happened for them. I'm no fan of TSA, of course. Right. I've sued them and won successful. Actually, I won, Alex, because they didn't do my FOIA request.
Oh, yeah.
But they still haven't paid that check because they're now blaming it on the partial shutdown that they can't pay my attorney. You know, it's one of the many layers of it. But, you know, to do this all with the partial shutdown just sounds wild.
Well, I mean, when Trump shut down when the government was shut down, like what, last year was for sometime like that.
Did you notice?
No, I didn't notice anything. And just a couple, like just literally a few days into it, Trump instantly folds on food stamps. He folds on hiring these government employees back. Like, screw them. Do the right thing, man. I mean, like, I don't want any of these tax dollars going to food stamps. I don't want any tax dollars going to these midwit government employees. But, I mean, it just seems with that, he could just bend the knee so easily. But when his own base supposedly is telling him, we don't want a war in Iran, we don't want you doing this, it's just he's hardline on it. It's just so backwards.
Yeah, I don't understand the motives behind it. Well, I mean, I kind of do. There's a report. I'm going to read through it later. The Wall Street Journal just dropped a report, and I look forward to reading that in a little bit, because there's a lot of questionable scenarios with all of this. You know, the profit margin for war is through the roof, and I think a lot of people become very greedy with all of this. But, you know, I've spoken to people who are running certain divisions and departments over in D.C., and, you know, they say that they'd much rather a more radical approach, but they are the White House is unwilling for them to take a radical approach when it comes to things like mass deportations and pushing back on a lot of these things, because the White House itself wants there to be a lot of economic wins. And so anything that might, like, here's another great story. Savannah Hernandez is doing a lot of great work going out there and exposing a lot of the trucking scams, the H-1B visa scams, the illegals who are using these cars, these vehicles, and they shouldn't be. Although we'll sit there and watch as Sean Duffy, who runs the Transportation Department, go out there and say that they're putting an end to this, they're trying to stop this. We still grant the H-1B visas, and we haven't stopped those because right now this administration's afraid of, well, if we start yanking back the H-1B visas, we actually might see a complete collapse in the trucking industry. And so due to the economy that they're trying to obviously get more wins on, they're unwilling to pull the H-1B visas on that one. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, humans adjust, and societies adjust to anything. So even if it's hard for a year, if they pull the H-1B visas, people are going to fill that gap because people need to eat, people need their stuff. So I think the trucking industry will have an upturn if we get the H-1B visas out. It's not like, I mean, it literally is just ripping off a Band-Aid. Like, having the Band-Aid on isn't really fixing anything, or it's not really helping too much. You just got to eventually just take it off, and they're just scared to do that.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. Truckers were telling a friend of mine, they're like, we used to make 40 cents a mile, but now we're making 19 because of all the illegals that they've imported. And these foreigners have brought down the cost for us, unfortunately. I mean, I don't see a reason why we have to continue doing this. We should be out there. We should be pushing for these people to be able to make a living wage. But most importantly, we should be pushing for America, Americans to get these jobs and to hold these jobs.
Well, it's just so weird to me because, you know, they act like if we don't have Indians driving the wrong way on the freeway, we're all going to starve and literally die, which I think we're literally going to die if we're driving the wrong way on the freeway. But that's just, I guess, me. But before 1965, before all these the brown horde came in, were people starving? Was nobody picking strawberries? Was nobody delivering trucks across the interstate? Of course, or delivering goods across the interstate? Of course people were doing that. It's like before all the Indians came, before all the Mexicans came, we just suddenly weren't a country apparently. And it's like these third worlders suddenly made our country first world to them. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, well, that's the thing too. I'm always like, wait, hold on a second. Like, you want me to sit here and pretend like importing a third world somehow makes America better? Of course it doesn't. They can't even make their own country better. It just seems like the argument that they always make. And I'm just like, this doesn't even make any, and they have no emotion. You know, we got 45 seconds here, but they've got no emotion. These truck drivers, after they take this guy here, I'll never get over this one. Doesn't even feel bad. He just killed three people. And yes, they're immigrants as well. I don't think that they have less of a value though. I mean, no care in the world. Just had to make a quick U-turn right here. Oh, yep. Good luck, guy.
Decapitate.
There you go. This is why we keep Alex around. Tough Monday for me. Their heads. I mean, what the heck's going on here? These people are sick. I don't want them here.
That's the most 2026 thing of all time. Just an Indian truck driver on H-1B decapitating three Haitian immigrants. I mean, it's just so like, that's just the state of the country right now. Yeah. But they certainly didn't deserve to die, and they both just need to go.
Yeah, they all need to go. Alex Rosen, thank you for joining us in studio.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure to keep up with you, my friend. Folks at home, if you want to support all the great work Alex is doing, best place to go, head on over to Twitter. Subscribe. I Fight for Kids. You can also find them at predatorpoachers.com as well. Are there any other platforms that people could support you at?
If you just type in Predator Poachers, P-R-E-D-A-T-O-R space P-O-A-C-H-E-R-S, Predator Poachers on YouTube, Predator Poachers on Facebook. Check us out on both. It really would help us out.
Yeah, and you're doing great work. And again, this is something that law enforcement sadly doesn't do. They miss out on all of this. So folks, help Alex out. I support him on all platforms, and I highly recommend you do the same. All right, that does it for us. On this edition of The American Journal, The Alex Jones Show starts next. In the meantime, though, it is the March mega sale over at thealexjonesstore.com. You got to stop what you're doing right now and head on over. 30 to 40% off some of your favorite supplements going on right now while supplies last over at thealexjonesstore.com. I'll see you here tomorrow.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the Globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend special deals, special offers. And with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on theallisonshore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAllisonShore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.